All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Donetta Davidson, and this is a part of the Pilot Election Review Committee pursuant to Section 246402 CRS. The Secretary of State's office issued a public notice of this meeting today on November 19, 2015. The time is 12 after 9, and the date is December 4th, 2015. Before we are meeting in the Aspen Conference Room of the Secretary of State's office at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. Before we introduce the members of the committee, I'm going to ask Secretary Williams if he would like to have a few minutes to talk to the audience. And
to change the security, tones are on. To deactivate tones when someone enters or leaves the meeting, press 1. Board tones are now inactive. You will now rejoin the meeting.
There we go, because I have such a quiet voice, but we are recording it. I wanted to say thank you to a lot of folks, because this has not been an easy project. When the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee that Danetta and I served on, as well as some others, said, you know, we should try these systems out before we make a final decision. I don't know that the election staff of the Secretary of State's office was that excited to jump up and down with this opportunity. But when I became secretary, they enthusiastically stepped up. And it's not been, there is something about being the boss that helps. But it's not been an easy job. And getting us to the point where we could have certifications of these various systems on a temporary basis, ensuring that they were sufficient to meet legal requirements was not easy, and the pilot project has not been an easy task. So I wanted to say thank you to my staff for all of their work in doing this. Thank you to the vendors, because they were asked to do things sometimes not always in their own time frame. And all of the clerks and their staff who said, yes, we will be the guinea pig. And you're going to hear from 8 of those counties today. And it was not an easy thing to say, we're running an election, and we're going to try out completely new stuff, and we're going to have all these people watching us. And I had the opportunity to visit all 8 of the pilot election counties during the process. Perhaps not surprisingly, I saw a high level of vendor support for them. We had a lot of folks that stepped up and did that. And then our Pilot Election Review Committee, who volunteered or got volunteered, all the work that you've spent in doing this. And I want you to know that I have a great deal of respect for the work and effort you're undertaking. I wait with rapt anticipation for your recommendation. I don't know what it's going to be, which is the whole idea of the kind of this common sense approach of trying it before we buy it. But I am awaiting that. I did brief, as Commissioner Marino knows, I did brief the commissioners at the Colorado Counties winter seminar they had this week, the beginning of the week, to say, hey, here's what's going on. And by the way, here's kind of the cost range. So for those who are clerks and are wondering, do the commissioners have any idea what's going? Well, if they were at CCI and they went to the meeting, they do. Now, perhaps not all of them were there, but I saw a fair number of them there. It is a challenge, but it's important for Colorado voters. It's important for the integrity of our elections process, and it's important fiscally for the counties that have to make these purchases, that we make good selections that don't just serve us today, but serve us in the future as well. And so I just wanted to stop by and say thanks. And out of respect for the process, I do not wish to be seen as, you know, forcing your hand. So I will depart from these premises and allow you to have unfettered discussion, knowing, of course, that Chuck, Teak, Steve, and Danette are always very shy and reticent if I'm in the same room. But thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all of your work and all of our pilot counties and the vendors who are here. Thank you for your willingness to do that and for all the extra work that your staff and your judges spent. So I appreciate that. Y'all have a wonderful day.
As I move forward, the ones that are here today, Clarissa Thomas is going to be a little late. She's our chair, so I'm substituting currently. So we'll start down with Chuck. Would you introduce yourself?
Chuck Brorman, El Paso County, Clerk and Recorder.
Teak Simonton, Eagle County, Clerk and Recorder.
Steve Reno, Well County Commissioner.
The ones that are not here is Jennifer Levin, and we haven't heard from her, so she may be here in just a little bit. And then we do know that Connie Ingmar is not going to be able to attend today. We've known that. So as I said, Clarissa will be here shortly. So as we move forward, for anybody that wishes to testify.
I'll just introduce myself. I'm Dwight Shellman, the county support manager for the state elections division.
And he's been the most important person that I apologize.
That's all right. And just so everyone knows, we knew that Connie Ingmar, one of our members, was not going to be able to be here today. That's one of the reasons we're doing a video recording and an audio recording. And she'll have plenty to review when she returns from her vacation in Mexico. So.
Okay, thank you. For anybody that wishes to testify, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet over on the table. And the hearing is being broadcast, as you said, over the internet from the Secretary of State's website. The public restrooms are just right around the corner to your left and on the third floor. And other than that, I think I'll ask, because I've seen so many people on their phones, make sure they're on silent. So other than that, we can get started. I think that our first one up is, do you want to take over or do you want me to go ahead and introduce them?
Sure, let me just, we got started late. So it's now 9:20, and what we wanted to do in the morning today was to give all of our pilot counties either 15 minutes each or 30 minutes, you know, per provider to let us know how the pilot elections went, what they liked about the systems, what they didn't like about the systems. And so we'll start the 30-minute clock now. And the first group up were the pilot counties for the Hart Verity system, and those are Douglas County and Garfield County.
All right, good morning. My name is Dub Jones. I'm from Douglas County, and we've got some folks from Garfield County here as well. We're here to talk about the Hart Verity voting system. As I was changing my shirt for the second time this morning because I spilled coffee on my first shirt, my wife said, "So you're the first presenter of the first presentation?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, good luck." So. Hopefully this goes well with my wife's well wishes today for us. Our intention today is we're going to try to give a 360-degree perspective of the Hart Verity system. We've got an IT perspective, management administration. We've brought some user stories with us. And we've got our secret weapon is a new guy who literally started days before we started building the ballot. And he was instrumental in helping to run the system. So I think that that's going to be real good feedback. Some of the folks we brought with us today, I'm not going to mention them by name. They'll be up one by one. This is not the order, of course, that we're be presenting in, but we've got the clerks from Douglas and Garfield counties, and we've got some other subject matter experts with us. And just for a little bit of reference, to talk about the two counties a little bit, Garfield County has just over 32,000 registered voters, and their turnout was about 11,204. They had seven VSPCs, which made us a little bit upset because we only had six VSPCs. So we got some catching up to do here. We have Douglas County has just over 196,000 registered voters. Our turnout was 92,601. And in fact, I'll have to tell you that the new guy won our pie bet to guess what our turnout was going to be. So we're all pretty upset about that still. We did test the entire voting system. We tested everything. In fact, for the first time in my career at Douglas County, we used precinct scan devices. And so we felt really strongly about this. And so we decided to test the whole system forward and backwards. The first section we're going to talk about here is system administration. I am the voting system administrator for Douglas County. But the one point I don't want to lead anybody astray. You don't need a system administrator to run Verity. I have a lot of other functions that I do with the county. So I don't want to make it sound like it's overcomplicated that you need a professional IT guy who's going to run this for you. So this is the quote that Hart had up on their presentation, and I won't go through and read it again, but so this is what I said, and now I kind of want to go through and talk about why I said it a little bit. To start with, we're going to talk about the components of the Hart Verity system. It's got the core voting system is a function called data, which is the ballot design. Build is the ballot media generator. Both of those systems are totally standalone. Central is the ballot scanning and adjudication. Count is the tabulation and recording, which is also a completely standalone system. And the TouchWriter is the voting equipment. It's the accessible ballot marking device. And then Scan, aptly named, I suppose, is the precinct scan part. Now, I think the problem that I've seen that we're faced with as pilot counties is to provide meaningful feedback to this committee outside the context of our legacy systems. So for example, I think that there's going to be some counties that are going to see on-screen resolution as a revolutionary thing to their processes. But I can only imagine be going like from a typewriter to a modern computer. I mean, it's almost that big of a difference. Douglas and Garfield counties, along with some other 40 counties in the state, have been using on-screen resolution since as far back as 2006. So we don't see this as revolutionary. It's the next evolution in voting technology. And Douglas and Garfield counties, we recognize that this committee is charged with comparing pilot systems to pilot systems, not to legacy systems. And so we're going to do our best in our presentation to talk to not make those kinds of comparisons to our legacy system. Some cases, I just don't think that can be avoided. The next piece I want to talk about, I'm not going to go into detail on this. I actually have a handout I'm going to give you after my presentation is over with, or after our presentation is over with. I'm calling it mine. Sorry about that. So the Software Sustainability Institute has a set of a scorecard where you can look at a system, both software and hardware. I didn't use the entire test, but I did pull out some of the components that were germane. And so I do have this outline in the handout. The two things I want to point out real quick is maintainability and security. Under maintainability, because the system runs in kiosk mode, there's certain features of Windows that are disabled, for example, the screensaver and the ability to lock your computer. And so that affects, and also the ability to access the operating system. And so that affects maintainability. But it helps security. If you can't get to the operating system, that helps to secure the system. From the security standpoint, there is the fact that again, some of those components are blocked. When you don't have a screensaver, you can't lock your computer, it affects the security. So I just wanted to point out those couple of scores up there because you'll see those on the handout afterwards. Hart's already covered some of this. Each component uses the same hardware platform, uses RAID technology, same type hardware platforms, makes it easier to maintain. Everything is COTS, except for the software, of course. And I just didn't want to skip past that. And I know you've all heard this before, so we're just going to go right to the next screen here. So the interface in the Verity system is very intuitive. It has very robust filtering and auditing functions, which we actually didn't understand the depth and breadth of the auditing functions until we went to do our own audit. And it was pretty spectacular. The reports are customizable, and there's discrete user roles that allows us to create a locked down user environment where we can delegate tasks without violating security policies and principles. So that was some of the nice things that that we liked about the system. As I said a moment ago, data, build, and count are all standalone components, which means that there's an air gap between the rest of the system. So your tabulation piece has an air gap from your scanning and your resolution piece. And I think that's important when we start to talk about protection of results. The other piece about it, I think if you're from a smaller county, it also enables you to perhaps use one system at a time rather than to have three systems all set up at the same time. And so from a small county perspective, that might be something that would be valuable. Now, Central, which is the scanning and adjudication platform, it's a client-server model, and the client is multi-role. And so just to tell you a quick story about, you know, kind of put this into English terms for you, when we first started to implement the system, I ordered, I think, 8 client workstations because that's what we use in our legacy system. And so I thought, you know, let's just do this apples to apples. As we got closer to implementation, I started to learn some of the power behind Verity. I realized I didn't need that many stations. And so I was able to very quickly convert those into other types of stations because it does use similar hardware. In addition to that, we had scan stations, we had resolve stations. We are accustomed to those being two different functions. But because it's a multi-role client, we're able to switch between those two. A client can be a scanner, a client can be an adjudication station, a client can be both. And so it allowed us flexibility to be able to expand or contract our operation. And so that's kind of the story that explains the client-server model and the multi-role client. It is a scale environment, but more importantly than that, it allows an incremental implementation. So whether you're small county or big county, maybe you don't want to get into the whole product to begin with, you can put it in pieces. And I think that for a larger county, or for any growing county, small or large, it is going to allow you to grow over time. And in fact, that's one of the survey points in the Software Sustainability Institute, is that a person can invest in a software or hardware platform without concern of outgrowing it. So that's the core voting system. From the voting equipment now, this is the TouchWriter and the scan. I was surprised it also used off-the-shelf hardware platforms. It's not something you can buy at Best Buy. It's more of a military-grade type thing, but it's not a custom-built. It is off-the-shelf. Hands down, my very favorite thing about the entire system is that when you undock the tablet from the base station in either the scan or the tablet unit, and it's in storage mode, all connections to the outside interfaces are severed. So someone can put a thumb drive or hook a printer or whatever they want up to it, and it's not going to go anywhere because those connections are completely severed. And that, hands down, from a voting administrator standpoint, is, I think, one of the best parts about the system. We, as a lot of other counties, had the folks from the ADA committee come down and take a look at it. I don't know what they said about the other systems, but they walked out of Douglas County pretty satisfied. In fact, I would say that they were actually surprised with what they saw. So hopefully that was reflected in what they said. And then finally, the single security custody management, no detail went unchecked here. We were able to deploy one seal, one type of seal to our polling places, which anybody in elections knows that's kind of one of the holy grails of election management, is to be able to have one kind of seal. So that's the wrap-up of my part. As again, I'll have a handout for after the presentation is all over with. And for now, I'm going to turn it over to Kyle Rooley, a.k.a. the new guy.
So I guess I'm the secret weapon here. I'm Kyle Rooley. I'm the Elections Technology Coordinator for Douglas County. And like Deb said, I started just a few days before we started creating the ballot. And I come in with zero elections experience. So I have no expectations when it comes to a voting system. So I had a fresh perspective on the subject. And there's several things that stood out to me with Verity. So within just a few days, I was given the opportunity to create the ballot for Douglas County. And with the system administrator, the county clerk, vice president of HART, and the chair of the PERC committee all breathing down my neck, I was able to learn the program in just minutes just by using it and playing around in it. And as I moved on with the process, I found out that the interface with creating the ballot actually ended up being the same as all of the programs, from ballot creation to scanning and resolution, tabulation, and report creation. The simplicity of this interface made operation very easy, and I always knew where something was when somebody was asking me for this report or that ballot style, even if I didn't know what they were talking about. Prior to the election, we didn't know about the overall speed of Verity when it came to scanning and resolving ballots. This ended up being too fast for our own internal processes, and which were designed around the older HART system. And as it turns out, speed and efficiency is a great problem to have during an election. And so Verity's efficiency pushed us to make changes to increase our internal efficiency. I've been told a lot recently by everybody in Douglas County that I work with that there are rarely such smooth elections as the one we just had. I like to think that's attributed to me being the new guy, but I have to give most of the credit to the Verity system. So now I'd like to turn it over to Sherry Davis, Elections Manager.
Good morning, everybody. Sherry Davis, Douglas County Elections Manager. And I'm here to give you a few user stories from this election as we talk to the different folks in our office about their perspective using the pilot system. So first of all, the piece that I like the most about this particular system is that all ballots look the same. All votes cast are on a paper ballot. And so whether your vote method is by mail or in person using the ballot marking device, all the ballots look the same. So that helps in terms of voter protection, voter privacy with the many CORA requests that we seem to be getting today. The next thing that I observed was that HART is a partner, not just a vendor. And so there was never a time throughout the process that they were not there to support us in the various roles or in pieces of the election. So they were there for project management. I would say that their project management was stellar, fielding questions for us throughout the process, available and never even had to get back to us on anything. They knew the answer right away. Training materials, we did ask them to help us create some training materials for our election workers to make it a little easier on us to transition, because all of our training materials obviously were geared toward the HART legacy system, and they were able to do that as well. So the support was phenomenal. Testing and auditing. I tell you, the post-election audit was a breeze. We've spent hours upon hours in our post-election audit historically, and it was very easy for us to accomplish. We were able to conduct our post-election audit in about 2 hours. So we've never had that kind of speed and accuracy in the post-election audit process. Risk-limiting audits. Our audit, we didn't do the technical risk limiting audit, but we did do a little bit of a version of that, and and it also was efficient and easy. We were able to find the ballots that we needed, for example, for the smaller jurisdictions. We have Aurora and we have Littleton, who have very few ballots that are cast, which obviously have to be audited, and we were able to go right to them and find them in order to help us accomplish that. Board of Canvas. So this is one of those stories that I have to share with you that where I relied on the new guy. So we get down to the day before the Board of Canvas, and there's a particular report I need. Dub is nowhere to be found, and he's obviously the person that I have relied on for years, and I can't find him anywhere. So I go to the new guy, and I say, Kyle, I need something, and we need to go down to the system and see if we can produce this report. And I was amazed. He just sat down at the computer and just was click, 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 and next thing you know, I have the report I needed. And so it spoke to me in volumes that how easy this system was to learn the process. Because again, Kyle started a week before we started building the ballot and had no previous elections experience at all. Another story comes from Lindy Blackburn. Lindy is one of our resolution judges who has worked with us in previous elections. And he was very impressed at how much faster the process was. You heard Kyle talk about how our internal processes weren't designed around this new system and how we weren't able to keep up with logging all of our batches and reconciling as quickly as the system was going. So he recognized that as well, said it seemed we needed lower manpower, and so he too was impressed from an outsider. Two other people who I'd like to share quick stories about: Elaine Meyer, who's our elections operations supervisor. She's responsible for implementing training of temps and election judges, and was impressed with the ease of the use and the ease of the operations of the system, ease of explaining it to the users and then being able to implement it in the polls. Jack Gibbons has helped us at Douglas County for a number of years in setting up our polling places. One of the things that Dwight asked me to talk about today was setting up our polling places, because we weren't able to have somebody observe that. And his quote was, it's super easy. And so he has helped us for years and indicated it took more time and effort to find the power plugs than to set up the equipment. And setup didn't require as many seals or seals to be broken even in order to set it up. And so that really speeded up our ability to set up our polling places, our voter service and polling centers on the day before the election. So now we're going to turn it over to Garfield. Edna.
Well, I'm not the IT guy. I'm the redneck tech. Because we do not import. We do not import our image. Our election from SCORE, we set it up from the ground up. And it is so much easier than the legacy system. The new people that we have helping us, they even picked up on stuff that I didn't. We set it up in a few hours versus a couple, 3 days. The product that comes out of data actually looks like the ballot, so we could send it to the entities for proofing to make sure we had everything correct. And they like the look of the ballot. They got the feel of it. It doesn't have the barcodes on it, but they got the feel of what the ballot actually looked like. Then with Central, it was so much easier to scan. I spent days before scanning. This time I spent hours scanning ballots. The resolution, on the on-screen resolution, it's very easy to tell when the resolution board says on an overvote, if they can tell voter intent, it says marked. So it's very clear on that they are actually choosing the correct, how the voter intended. When you go back and look at it, it is, you can tell that this is what they actually meant when you compare the duplicated ballots or whatever. The like they said, the machines are so much easier to set up. You don't need an extra computer to define the equipment. It's all done through the drives. Very easy. Takes so much less time. We did it. We only have like three people, and actually two people set up the equipment. No problem at all with seven. We did our RLA, and we were able to go and find the ballots very easy that they asked us to find. Our CORA request after the election, they asked us to find one specific ballot style. We went to Central. I told it which ballot style. It told me which batches they were in and how many were there. I could just export those out of there, give it to the CORA request. Very simple process.
I'm Jean Albarico, Garfield County Clerk, and just a couple closing comments from the clerk's perspective and from my staff's perspective as well. Edna has been working with the HART system for about since we got it, and 2008 was the first time that we bought the full suite, and we upgraded to their 6.2 version like 2 weeks before the presidential election in 2008, which was very stressful. And HART's customer service from that point on has just been outstanding. They were a tremendous help to us then. They were a tremendous help to us as the pilot county. Last fall, one of my new election people came to me and she said, I really want to work in elections, but she said, I don't think I can learn this system. She didn't have, she just said, it's too confusing, it's too hard. This year, she, along with another employee, with the 2.5 days of training we had on Verity, she sat down and ran the tabulation process like a champ, like an expert. She was so confident, and it was so easy for her to do, and it was just really great to see. I do a lot of the training of judges and stuff, and our we have, as they said, seven VSPCs, and it was very easy for them to learn how to set up the touch writers, and we pushed the use of those touch writers at our VSPCs. So we had 132 citizens vote on them during the election. And my office on election day is a VSPC, and we shut down Motor V, and it took us a very short time to train. My Motor V people wanted to get really involved, so we trained almost all of them to assist voters in using the touch writer. And they picked it up very, very quickly and were able to assist the voters. And we had really good reviews from all the voters who used those. I really like the fact that the cast vote records are stored on a separate medium, and they're not even, you can't even start the tabulation process until you go to a different program. And my last story is that I am not one of the counties who said I was going to be replacing my equipment next year, because we upgraded and we're good for several more years with the current HART system. But in my budget process with my Board of County Commissioners, this was happening after we had the training and we're using the new system. I told them, I said, if Verity is chosen by this PERC committee, I said, would you please consider funding the cost of this new equipment? Because if you don't, I'm going to have mutiny. And I'm going to be looking for a lot of new election employees.
Merlin Klotz, Douglas County Clerk. I feel like the fifth wheel after all the expertise in front of me. The cast vote ballot images on HART Verity are, unlike some of the other systems, are not distinguishable. It's the same format, same size, same layout of the mail ballots, if it's a poll ballot, it's an ADA ballot. They are all the same format, all same size, shape. Where it gets important to me is with the CORA requests that we get for now for cast vote images. if they're not all the same, all identical, it gets easy to match up the cast vote images against the poll records and identify who voted for what for, in a lot of cases. We had 805 polling place voters, but we also had 197 precinct style splits. So that meant an average of 4 voters per style. So you can imagine many of those could be matched up if you have a different style, different shape of ballot for polling place or ADA. Rapid scan adjudication, it's fast. Dub started training for our resolution team in the morning on Friday the 29th. By noon, they started resolving ballots. By 3 o'clock, they were caught up, and he sent them home. Now, he started with two-man teams, and they were caught up by 3 o'clock. He sent them home. He said, I only want one team to come back on election day at 1 o'clock. That's how fast it was. Two high-speed scanners were more than adequate to do a 90,000 ballot election. Doug touched on this. Heart is evolution, it's not revolution. You can put a bunch of programmers in a room and give them a project, give them an objective, and they can write a software to meet your objective. That's not the same as a company who can go back and rely on input from actual users to create the next version, the next edition of their software. There's an expertise that comes with having done it, and that's what we're seeing, in particularly with respect to the ballot resolution. Unexpected results. We saved time that we hadn't expected, and the others touched on this repeatedly. We came in with expectations of, well, yeah, it's a different color, the same old system. It was so much faster, it upset the rest of our operation, the feeder part of the operation. Reduced manpower and time. So like I said, we're expecting resolution teams for 3-4 days. And a day and a half of a two-man team essentially resolved 90,000 ballots. The education curve was very direct and short. In summary, Verity facilitated unexpected operational efficiencies, number one. Number two, Verity is a complete product. And number three, I'll tell you a little short story. County Manager Doug got hold of Sherry and says, what's a new election system going to cost me? And Sherry sent her response back based on the information that was provided to the committee. And essentially, his response back to her was, I think you left the first digit off.
I think now we've got 15 minutes to ask questions. So who would like to be first?
Could I?
Steve, go ahead.
I just wanted, because I think if I could just start with this with Kyle and Dub real quick. I think for many people, the relationship and the process between Verity data and Verity build is a little unclear. Could you just explain to us quickly just kind of how the process works, what you do in data first, and then how that interacts with build?
Sure, yeah. That's actually one of those things that, in my opinion, Hart learned from their previous system and brought forward. In the past, you would create a ballot, you would build the artwork, so to say, and then from the same system, you would then generate your ballots, you would generate your, I'm sorry, not your ballots, you would generate your media, which would then go on to generate your ballots. And so It's I guess a couple of things. First, it's difficult for HART as an organization to do a service center approach where they can create the ballot for a county who wants to house sort that, and then they can import it in and start to create that, create those media and whatnot, because the election hasn't been what we say locked down yet at that point. And the second piece of it is that it's difficult to delegate different roles to different people in that sort of scenario. So what data and build bring to the table, in my opinion, is you've got one system, which is data, which is just the ballot design. That's its only function, and it does it very well. Build is the piece of the software or the piece of the suite that generates your election media and also generates your ballots and your PDFs. So you could essentially, and what, one of the things we do in Douglas County is one person creates the ballot, the other person creates the media and the ballots and whatnot so that we can have that those internal controls in place. And from, I think, from a, probably from the HART's organizational standpoint, is that they can now provide a service bureau type service and provide a county with a locked down database that they import into a piece of software that then they can create the media and the ballots off of it. So it's basically the media design and then the ballot and media, or I'm sorry, the artwork and then the media and ballot creation. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Kyle?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Does that answer your question? Any, do you want any more detail on that?
Just one quick follow-up question. Did you find it frustrating to, because once you build the election, if you will, in data, you then import that into build, generate ballot artwork, and if you see something you don't like, you can't change it in build, you have to go back to data.
Right.
And so,
right.
And they are actually on different workstations.
They're on different workstations. The build, and I'm glad you asked that question because I skipped.
So right I there. Wanted to know what was that like? Yeah. Did you find that annoying or time consuming or?
Not really, because the data software does have a very robust proofing function. So before we ever lock that data down, we were able to print our composite ballot so that we can check the order of the races and the, you know, make sure it matches the certified content, all that stuff. And then we were able to print each style individually, so then we can look at each style. So before we ever even exported the build, we had already done a full, believe me, many proofreads at that point. And so once we brought it into data, my confidence level, it was correct, was very, very high. Now, will every county use that process? I don't know. So I can't speak to that. I would imagine if you don't proof it before you take it into data and you have to go back and make some changes, that might be a little bit frustrating. But the fact is that you just import your election back into data and you go through, make your edits, and you lock it down again. So it shouldn't take more than maybe 5 minutes or so to make some updates if you have to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Steve?
Okay. Steve Moreno, Weld County Commissioner. And I apologize, I wasn't able to go to the County of Garfield, but I was able to observe in Douglas County and appreciate the presentation by everybody here today. It's a lot of good information and good feedback, so appreciate what you shared. One of the things that I observed when I was in Douglas County and the use of the ADA machine there, the DRE, there seemed to be a lot of interaction with the election judges and the voter in that process there. Just wanted to know, and maybe even from Garfield and Douglas here on this here, just to, what's your feelings with that? I thought there was just, and maybe this is more of a Jennifer's question when she's going to ask it, but I just thought there was just a whole lot of interaction with the judges.
Steve, I don't think that necessarily that's a bad thing, that there is interaction with the judges, because I sometimes think that makes a voter more comfortable. What my judges did remark about was the fact that a poll worker did have to push the poll worker button every time before you could activate the Verity TouchWriter. And I think that's something HART told us in their last presentation they're already working on, is maybe having an interface with SCORE that would allow you to then just scan the label that's produced at the polling location that would then bring that ballot style up on the screen. And so that was an issue. That was a problem. It's not in a really great location. And I think a couple of our judges said, well, it wouldn't be so bad if the button just stuck out a little bit farther. You know, and we're dealing with some older people, and sometimes it's not really, you know, easy to bend down. But it worked really well. And my staff members who were working with the public just used it as an opportunity to explain to the voter the new system and to just, so we basically set everything up and then explained to the voter how to, you know, we really didn't have to tell them how to use the touchscreen because everybody knows how to use touchscreens these days and stuff. So it worked very, very well.
I think from Douglas County's perspective, I think the problem that they were trying to solve through that is how do you prevent a voter from just walking up to a device and voting? And so there needs to be some sort of interaction with the poll worker to enable the device, set up the device, something so that you don't just have a voter walk up and cast a ballot. And to that, I think that they kind of took the long route to get there. But in Sherry's presentation, she talked about HART being a partner. And after the pilot was over, they did come back to us and asked us what our pain points are. And that was one of our pain points. We like the interaction between the poll worker and the booth. We want it to be a little easier. We want it to be a little bit more efficient. And so they claim that they've already taken that back and they're including that in, if not their next version, their next version after that, which incidentally future versions are covered under cost. So that makes us very happy in terms of that. Does that answer your question, Steve?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
We'll go down the line. Oh, go ahead then, Jennifer.
This is Jennifer Levin from Disability Law Colorado, and I just wanted to follow up on Steve's question because we came down and visited Douglas County with a couple of people who tested your machines. They were both blind, and they did have some really good feedback. They felt like they were very easy to use. One of the testers had been blind all her life and had been voting on machines a long time, and so she was pretty seasoned and was experienced and felt like it was a great experience for her. The second tester was recently had become blind, and so she wasn't as familiar with using that kind of equipment, but she did seem to learn it pretty quickly. And like Steve said, I felt like there was a little too much interaction with a poll worker, like to need assistance. So one of the things we look for under the ADA is that does the voter have an independent voting experience? And I was wondering, so when you print out the ballot and you return it, would a person who was either physically impaired or blind, you know, would they need assistance to turn that ballot in, or is there some way to make sure that would be an independent part of the process?
I make sure nobody else wants to answer first. I don't exactly know how to answer that question because we didn't really have a lot of ADA voters vote in this election. And so other than your test, which of course happened in a controlled environment, we didn't really have a lot of other feedback. I would imagine that I don't believe the scanner is accessible in terms of it having controls that are, you know, Braille and those sorts of things. I think once you get the person to the scanner and probably have them put it into the scanner, that I can see where that could be a little bit clunky. But I think if they could also put it in a ballot box, and we could then count it back at the central count area if we needed to. So I think that would be an alternative. It's probably not the answer you're looking for, but I agree. It would be nice if we had the scanner was accessible in that extent. So. And that's feedback we've already given to HART as well. So I know that's kind of a softball answer, but that's the best I got for you.
From my perspective, that's a question for all four of the systems, and especially on how to deal with that. And I think it would have to be dealt with some conversations with the people from the persons with disabilities community and best practices on, are you going to be putting that ballot into a precinct scanner, or is that ballot going to go into a ballot box, and what is the best way? You know, I don't know that we have that answer yet.
Trust me, she'll be asking that question to everybody.
Well, I can tell you to give you the Douglas County specific answer is that in a VSPC environment where we had something like 500 ballots cast, I think, through the entire election, a precinct counter just doesn't have ROI for us. So we're not going to deploy them. We're not going to purchase them. So it's going to be a ballot box. And that is just, it's a hole in a box. So it's as accessible as it can be, I suppose.
Teek Simonton, Eagle County Clerk. Thank you all for hosting the pilot. I think that was a huge undertaking, and it was really nice to be able to visit many of the counties and see the process, so we appreciate all your work. A couple of things, you mentioned that they asked you for your pain points, and you said one of your pain points was, so I would like to know what the other pain points were.
Yeah, it's a fairly short list. I think that the single biggest pain point that we had was actually in relation to the data software, the ballot creation software. And my understanding, let me just preface it by saying my understanding of the pain point here is that the software system for creating the ballot is a system called Layout. And at the EAC level, when it was certified, it was not part of the certified system, so that you would create the ballot in basically what would essentially be a word processor for all intents and purposes, and then you would import that into your certified system. And that was the plan. That's how the EAC had certified it. And Colorado had requested that HART have that system certified. And as the committee may know, all of the features of the system must be tested and certified. And with such a short time frame, basically, HART went in and they just scooped out most of the features and functions of Layout in order to create data. So it was what I would call a bare-bones system. And it was not exactly what I would call feature-rich. And so that was our single biggest pain point. And it was a bit of an artificial pain point, I think, because it was kind of occurred under duress to some extent. So as we talked about that, they are going to bring Layout in, and my understanding is they're going to bring Layout in and have it certified in Colorado. So it'll be the full featured system, and I kind of avoided that in the presentation because it's kind of a red herring a little bit in terms of that. There was some, I think that the especially the adjudication system could benefit from a little bit of a workflow behind it, so that because really if you think about it, adjudication is just this repetitive process. And you just repeat the same process over and over again, and you're applying some human common sense to it. And I think that would be easier. Now, is that a pain point? I don't know. It's more of a feature request. And then, of course, the placement of the poll worker button is very awkward, and so that's going to be pretty easy to solve. I would say most of the pain points we had really were cosmetic.
Thank you. One of our concerns was also the lack of the remote access to setting up the ballot for the individual voter. In our situation, we actually have a physical concern because the judge would have to walk all the way around one counter to get to the voting equipment every time someone voted. Now, that said, we don't have a lot of people who are voting that way these days, but, 10 years ago, nobody anticipated that we'd all be moving to, almost completely paper system either. So it's a consideration as one doesn't know what the future is going to bring. So that's helpful. And then I think maybe this is what you were just talking about with the layout. But one of my concerns when I was watching Edna and Jean put their ballot together was the somewhat limited functionality and flexibility in formatting ballot styles, where for instance, in Eagle County, we had one side of the county had a huge number of ballot questions, and the majority of the county, the Eagle Valley side, had very few, and so we were limited to a certain size of ballot based on the highest common denominator. And so I don't know if that affected you. Obviously, in a bigger county, you're going to have a lot more ballot styles, and you would have some experience with that. Can you speak to that?
So are you thinking like you've got a large ballot and some of them might be mostly blank?
Yeah.
Or
not a lot of races.
And also the placement, you know, where you have things that have to go in order.
Yeah.
You might have a ballot where you have several items on the front page and then blank ballot for the rest of the front page and something on the back page because of the way that the ballots have to be laid out.
Yeah, I think that that speaks maybe to methodology, not as much as to the software. We had our countywide ballot, I think, had like 6 questions on it. We had some others. We had one ballot style that went to the back page. We didn't really see that problem. I found it, well, I don't know, Kyle could probably talk to this as well, but I found it to be very easy to actually lay out those ballot styles, very flexible using the district to precinct setup model. And I think to Merlin's point of every Merlin and Sherry, that every ballot looks alike. There was once upon a time that I would like to have smaller ballot styles on 8.5 by 11, larger ballot styles on 11 by 17. But there is an advantage to having every ballot basically look essentially the same. So I think that could be an advantage. But that's not a problem that we experienced in Douglas County, and I would call this a fairly complex ballot that we built.
One of the other things I'd like to add is that typically Douglas County has had an 11 by 17 ballot size. And this year we were able to move to an 8.5 by 17. And by using this system, it makes better use of some of that white space that we've had in the past. So I found it more efficient in terms of using the space available.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck, we're running out of time, but Chuck, I wanted to give you an opportunity.
Boy, go quick. All right. Chuck Brorman, El Paso County, and due to the time constraints, I was unable to go to Garfield, but I do want to thank both of you for hosting and taking up this challenge. But just real quick, at your VSPCs, did you scan the ballots there, or did you elect to bring them back, and why?
We wanted to take the opportunity to scan in the polling place to examine that. We have not done that since 2005. And also to test the system fully. But based on the limited number of individuals who voted in the polling place, I don't think that we'll be doing that. I think we will be, as Doug mentioned earlier, depositing them in a ballot box and then centrally scanning when they come back. For voter privacy reasons.
Okay, I've got one more question here that we're comparing.
I have a couple more too, but okay. If I could quickly.
We noticed on a report, Steve, I'll let you talk about what we've
Okay, yes, just quickly reviewing the evaluations that were done by the two counties here. In question number 47 here, says grade the capability of the data exported from the voting system for the SCYT election night reporting system. And Douglas County, you gave them an F, and Garfield County, you gave them an A. Maybe you can both kind of speak to what you found different on that.
Chuck has
some. I have a couple more.
When we exported it and ran it through the software that Hart made for us, it uploaded just fine. We didn't have any problems with it at all.
Let me chime in, just due to the time constraints here, let me chime in on this particular issue. all of the systems, we needed to apply macros to the data in order to upload to the CITL ENR website, and that is because the CITL website was never specifically designed for any of these systems. So one of the things we'll be asking the successful vendor, it's not surprising to me that we had problems. We also couldn't export data from SCORE that could be directly imported to most of the voting systems, and that's because that development just hasn't been done yet. But those are two big items that we want to talk to the successful vendor about and get their commitment that they will work with us on that development to make that smooth.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, you had...
And then a comment and then a question. On your statement about the adjudication, after the visit at Douglas County, I had an opportunity. I was at the Burger King, and three of your adjudicators were there, and we had a conversation. And they kind of belied that same fact that it seemed like during the adjudication process, it was two steps forward, one step back, that there was some things that needed to be worked out. And I don't have the particulars, but that was their sense of that.
Well, first off, we usually don't let them out of the building, so the fact that you saw them at Burger King is a little bit concerning.
Well, you splurged by sending them to Burger King, so.
So in Pete Lichtenheld's words, the VP of Operations at HART, that the engineers built this system for auditing purposes. And so as a result, it has this extremely robust filtering capability. But every time that you go to a new batch, you now have to clear all your filters and put all your filters back on again. And that's kind of that workflow I was talking about. If when you get to the end of a batch and you selected your next batch, if it would just inherit a set of filters, then it would skip a lot of that. There was a lot of movement with the mouse, a lot of clicking, way more than I think is necessary. And that is some of the feedback we gave to HART. Now, with that said, 90,000 ballots in 14 hours, even with that many clicks, I was pretty impressed with that. I think if they can put a workflow in there, we should get that down to minutes, I'm pretty sure.
Then one final question for both Garfield and Douglas. If this committee chose another vendor than the vendor that you piloted, what would your course of action? Have you thought about that? Would you stay with your current system and wait? Would you investigate further? What kind of your thoughts? Have you thought about that?
Well, I think that one's above my pay grade, so I'm going to step back here.
Chuck, I think I mentioned before that I am not one of the counties that said I wanted to upgrade, because we've been doing fine with the system we have. And I've been told by my county commissioners that our revenues are going to see some drastic drops in the next couple of years, and they are wanting us to limit capital spending. So I don't know that I would move right away, but the system we have now, I'm good until about 2020. So at some point in time, I told them it's going to have to be replaced. And my comment was, and what they agreed to, is that if HART is chosen, as I told you, and my staff has really enjoyed using this upgraded version, that they told me they would find me the money. And I think it depends, too, that maybe they can also find that for another system as well. But I didn't ask that question of the board.
My recommendation would be that we wait, because I would not want to go into a presidential election cycle learning a whole new system.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. We really appreciate both of you being here and answering our questions. I have a feeling you're going to get questions that we'll ask more from all of us, and we'll probably have to put them in writing or do a conference call or something, because I know I didn't get to do mine. So we'll move on, but thank you very much, and we'll move forward and have a clear ballots. Counties come up, Adams and Gilpin.
Exactly 30 minutes behind.
Yeah, so
my thought is we can condense some of this stuff this afternoon, because we're not going to have time to review all this stuff. We just want to talk about it. So we need to basically providing every county with an hour and a half hour to make a presentation, half hour questions.
Okay. We've got Adams County Clerk and Recorder up there ready. It looks like we're exactly 30 minutes behind it, but we are not going to cut anybody from the time factor, obviously. We want to be fair at this. We may be working through lunch, but Stan, would you like to start off?
Yep, just don't start my time yet. Give me a chance to get set up here for a sec.
We do have your presentation or your handout. It's been given to us, so good. In case if you're wondering about that.
This is Dwight Shellman. While Stan is getting his presentation ready to go, let me just say that maybe as usual, my agenda timing was perhaps too ambitious. We basically devoted very near a full hour to the HART pilot counties. I, in fairness, think we should do the same for the others, give them a half hour to present and give us a half hour to ask questions. We can catch up in the agenda this afternoon because really I'll just be explaining the notebooks that you have in front of me and in front of you and how to navigate through them. So there probably won't be a whole lot of discussion this afternoon.
Appreciate that. See, there I wasn't even counting backwards or anything to make sure that you knew that we were still watching.
Okay, I think we're good. First of all, I'd like to say, I echo what Secretary Williams said. I appreciate all of your time and respect everything that you guys are doing as well. I know that, you know, Secretary Williams had mentioned that this is kind of on the pilot counties that we've done all the work, but truly, you guys are fantastic in volunteering your time, and we do appreciate that. So let's get started here. So Adams County and Gilpin County piloted with clear ballot, and we'll just go ahead and go through it. So one of the things I think that was asked of us is, certainly as the clerks, is what's our 2 cents worth on the basically on the voting system. So I thought I would start the presentation and give you my 2 cents worth on what I think about a uniform voting system. And as I'm doing this, a couple weeks ago, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning because that's what I usually do when I do my best thinking. So kept going through my mind, LendingTree. When banks compete, you win. And LendingTree has done a fantastic job of getting that message out in front of you. When banks compete, you win. That's the same thing that I believe about a voting system or systems in Colorado. One thing that I would like to ask of all the PERC committee members is to keep this in mind, because I think that this is very important going forward. Before I ran for office, I spent 15 years owning and operating my own business. Prior to that, for the prior 10 years, I worked for two large corporations in Colorado. And prior to that, I've got a degree in business management. So I know the importance of competition. And even if you thought one of these vendors was by far the best, I would caution you, because I believe that we need competition in Colorado to keep these vendors competing with one another. Because I believe that if they do that, then the citizens of Colorado will win. If we eliminate competition, what I think that we're going to get, we're going to stifle creativity and technology. Having competition certainly is going to incentivize modernization and innovation, and I believe that the voters are going to win. And certainly, that's where clear ballot comes from. They want to compete. Not only will they make themselves better, but they will make any other vendors better as well. 3 priorities that I'm looking for as the clerk in Adams County. I'm looking for accuracy, efficiency, and transparency. And we'll get just started right into the accuracy part of what we found in Adams County. We've got the ability, clear ballot gives us the ability to do grayscale scanning. I'm not sure if any of the other systems have the technology, the ability to do this. But what that means, and I want to emphasize the importance of this, this gives us 256 shades of gray when they do scanning versus black and white scanning that's going to give you two shades, white and black. What this means is there's not going to be any dropout colors. We did a test when we were in Boston just this last week working with Clear Ballot, and we used an orange highlighter, a blue pen, a purple pen, a green pen, a pencil, and we ran those through the scanners. And the importance of that is the grayscale scanning picks those up and brings those to the forefront so we can take a look at those at every single option when we're looking at the ovals. And really what this is going to do is it's going to result in high definition ballot scans. A lot of those lighter colors, highlights, and as we know, some of you are clerks or previous clerks, not everybody fills in the ovals correctly, and not everybody uses a black pen. So this is important when it comes to accuracy. In Adams County, we scanned roughly 75,000 ballots. 46 of those came back as unreadable. This is unremarkable. This is 0.0006%. The electronic adjudication versus manual duplication is certainly going to increase the accuracy of what we do. Of those 75,000 ballots, we had one multiple ballot feed. Very simple to take care of that. We deleted the batch and we rescanned it. The importance of being able to delete that batch is very crucial because if the scanners do make a mistake, they scan multiple ballots, we can very rapidly, efficiently go back and fix those issues. This system, there's no memory cards, so that there is no possible memory card failure. I know that, like Kyle from before, I'm pretty new in elections, so I've got a pretty fresh perspective on this. And one of the things that I've heard from a lot of other systems, previous systems, before I was clerk and recorder, there's a lot of memory card failures and a lot of memory card issues. And there's a lot of memory card mistrust out there. This system does not use any memory cards. Innovative oval visualization technology. This gives us the ability to go take a look at every single oval. We can take a look at the least confident votes, the over votes, the under votes, and the non votes. This is very important, and I'll get to this when I talk about transparency. But this is very important that we have the technology and the innovation available to go and take a look at all four of these aspects in an election. This is a screenshot of what we would be looking at when we're basically adjudicating the election, or basically just taking a look at it. So in the bottom, you can see in the red box right there, this voter marked their oval and missed it. This was actually just a ballot that I pulled off of this year's election. This technology gives us the ability to go and scan that ballot, again, very accurately and efficiently. What's important here is, and we're looking at a non-vote right here, and you may not think that this is important, just that the system didn't pick it up, but in Adams County, we had a contest within 6 votes, 2 contests within 8 votes, and 1 contest within 20 votes, all in this last election. It is imperative that we narrow down and we look at the accuracy of every single oval and how they're filled out. So again, looking at this, this voter missed the oval. The system didn't pick it up as a vote. So when we scanned over it, we've got the box so we can see it. Now this next slide, what's going to happen is I'm going to bring up that ballot. So we can rapidly, very efficiently, and very accurately look at that ballot in high resolution, in grayscale, and we can see that that's basically how this voter voted their ballot. This person may have been elderly, but it was pretty clear to me that they could not see the ovals when they were filling those in. So the system got it right, but this Clear Ballot technology allows us to go back and look at that, again, very efficiently and very rapidly. When it comes to efficiency, last year in Adams County, we manually duplicated 5,600 ballots. We had 56 judges and staff, and that took us about roughly 5,350 hours to do that process. That's a responsibility to the taxpayers of roughly $65,000 that that cost, just that one process. In this year, in the coordinated election with clear ballot, we manually duplicated three ballots. We had three judges and staff that took less than an hour to do that, and it cost the taxpayers less than $100 to be able to do that process. When it comes to scanning and adjudication, the scanners that Clear Ballot gave us with the Fujitsu scanners, capable of scanning 4,000 ballots per hour per scanner. We had three scanners this year. We didn't use the third one. There was no need, but we used the other two sporadically. I believe that multiple scanners allows for backup, if we've got breakdowns. I certainly wouldn't want one scanning system, whereas if that breaks down, I've got no backup to keep running my election. The system also allows us real-time processing from scanning to adjudication. This is important because as soon as those ballots are scanned through the system, it allows us to start adjudicating those in real time. There is no memory cards to dump this on. Our adjudicating judges can start adjudicating those right away. Again, there's no backup required. The Clear Design Sandbox. This is a feature that Clear Ballot has in place right now. We looked at it when we were in Boston. And really what this is going to allow is it's a feature in cloud allowing counties to share and learn from one another while they're building, while they're designing their ballots. Write-ins. Clear Ballot, I believe, has the most modernized, innovative write-in tool available. This allows for efficient electronic identification of every write-in candidate. And I think going into the presidential election, we're going to see a few write-in candidates, with all the ballot content. What this does is it allows rapid write-in adjudication and tabulation. In Adams County, this last election, 2015, we had 1,360 write-ins. We electronically adjudicated those in 30 minutes, and that included the judge training time to be able to do that. Clear Ballot is currently developing the next generation write-in tool that we've briefly seen. They demonstrated a little bit when they were here a couple weeks ago, but that tool will be even more robust and certainly add efficiencies as well. This next slide I kind of turned into efficiency and transparency. And Hart talked a little bit about it just previously to us coming up, but Clear Ballot is designing a tool. It's about 75% done right now. They gave a little bit of demonstration on it when they were here, but I wanted to reemphasize this because I think it's very important going forward for the transparency that I want to be able to provide in Adams County. What this tool is going to do is it's going to rapidly redact identifiable markings on every ballot. What this is going to do is it's going to allow for full transparency of elections at little to no cost. And I can tell you this, Adams County's goal is to download ballot images to our website. I know that we're not there yet, Dwight, but that's certainly what I want to be able to do. This tool will allow us to do that. One of the things for clerks is we've got to make sure that all of those markings are off of those ballots before we release those to the public. This tool is going to allow us to be able to do that. And if we can download those images to the website, it's going to allow any individual to tabulate the elections themselves. That's full 100% transparency. Sticking on transparency, I believe it was Clarissa. She asked a question when we were here a couple weeks ago, and it had to do with, and she asked all four vendors, and it had to do with the I think she phrased it in this way. What are you bringing to the security and the integrity, and how do we trust your system? And I like the way that Clear Ballot answered that question. It was short, it was to the point, and it was very honest and direct. And really what it was is, don't trust us, trust our system. Everything that Clear Ballot has been trying to do is take everything that was originally from the old systems that goes into a computer. They've tried to take every single thing that they can possibly think of, spit it out of that computer so anybody can see it. The public can see it, the citizens can see it, candidates can see it. That is imperative when it comes to transparency of an election. The voting system, Clear Ballot's a voting system. There are no electronic or machine votes. What I mean by that is, and Hart spoke about this a little bit, every single vote cast in our 2015 election using Clear Ballot was on a ballot. So we didn't have any images that went through scanners that were tabulated via a barcode or a QR code. Every single ballot now is 100% transparent. And really what this does is it captures every oval in every contest. So that allows me as the clerk to take an election and be 100% transparent with it. Sticking with transparency, a couple nights ago on Wednesday night, I held a post-election review. Really what this did is, well, I can tell you this. I would not have been or would have never chose to do that in front of the candidates. We brought all the candidates in or whoever wanted to attend in for a post-election review. I would never feel comfortable doing that or have the confidence to do that if I couldn't sit down and have 100% trust and transparent in the system and believe in it. And what we were able to do is we were able to go through and look at every single oval in every single contest for whatever candidate that wanted to come in, and they could ask us any questions that they wanted to. We did have candidates that came in that were on the losing side of that 8 votes. When they walked out, they felt very comfortable and trusted the election that we just put in place. When I sent this invitation out, I got a response back from our county manager, Todd Leopold, and some of you know Todd. He said, "Stan, thank you for stepping outside the norm and doing the things the citizens really expect of their county to be doing." And I appreciate that, because one of the things that we're trying to do in Adams County is build 100% transparency.
Stan, let me interrupt for just a second. This is Dwight Shellman from the Secretary of State's office. Are you kind of presenting on behalf of Gilpin County as well?
No.
If you're doing separate presentations, and if Gilpin County has a full 15 minutes, you've got about another minute.
We bought some time from Gilpin County.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
It wasn't cheap, but we already talked to them about that.
Okay. Thank you.
So, so for that's right. That's right. So for future elections, this is where I think that we're headed with future elections and innovation. I think Clear Ballot is on a path to be the industry leader when it comes to innovation. And the reason for that is they've got the leader in code development, a guy by the name of Tab Iredale, that used to work for the largest elections company in the United States. He now works for Clear Ballot. They're a browser-based technology. They've got the ability to do faster certifications, given that they use Python, a modern, powerful, and compact coding tool, resulting in about 1/10 of the code. And with that, I'll turn it over to my elections director, Christy Coburn.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. So I wanted to bring a couple of thoughts and perspectives from what staff thought about running the system. So I want to start out by saying, Douglas County in Garfield talked a lot this morning about how the HART system was an evolution, not a revolution. So for those of you, well, all of you on the PERC committee, you're election experts. We had a brand new clerk, a brand new elections director, a brand new management team, and a brand new system that we've never used before. So this wasn't an upgrade for us. This was a complete new system from everything that we have done in the past. Overall, the experience was really great. We loved the new technology. We really realized how antiquated our old system had become once we had the new system in place. But with all large-scale implementations, realistically, you're going to have some challenges, especially when you have a brand new vendor that you've never used before and brand new staff. So I want to talk about some of the challenges that we ran into first. The training materials and documentation was not as robust as we would have liked. Clear Ballot really had done a tremendous job of making changes to their code late in the game and going through certification. And as a result, the documentation and the training material was a little lacking. It hadn't had a chance to catch up to the development that they had made in the software. Since then, we've partnered with Clear Ballot, and as Stan mentioned, some of our team even went to Boston last week, and we're working on partnering together where they're developing new material, they're sending it to us, and we're kind of doing a beta review of it, as it were, so that we can provide that next level, that boots on the ground level perspective on the training. The reporting options, the reports that are available through the CLEAR Design system, also need a little bit of work. The basics are there. You can get what you need, but there are things that we're working with CLEAR Ballot to develop for the future, additional reports that we need, filters and so forth. But we wanted to be upfront that those were some, those are a couple of things that there are some pain points. A slide that is not on here, but I'm going to talk. We inadvertently, between Stan and I, deleted a slide, and I apologize for that. But it also talks about challenges, and these are probably the two biggest that we saw with the system. CLEAR Ballot, at the time that we received it and the time they went through certification, did not have the ability to report or design an election by style. So we ended up having to report and design by precinct. That forced us to have 369 different unique splits. That has tentacles that reach out into many places, as you guys know. Compounding that, the interface for the CLEAR Access design, so that the ballot marking device, the way ballot styles are selected is you scroll through precinct numbers and splits on the screen to find the one that is assigned to that voter. When we went from what would have been 56 styles to 369, that was a point of pain for our election judges, having to find that particular style. Good news is CLEAR Ballot has already has a solution for that. So they've got a lookup tool now where you can type the number in, and we're talking to them also about just trying to find a way to scan a barcode so that the interaction between the judge and the voter is much less. But I wanted to be upfront with you guys that those are some things that caused us pain. Am I doing on time? I've got to be quick. Okay. Positives. I'm going to go through this really quickly. The high-speed scanning was great. As Stan mentioned, we only had 2 of 3 scanners. In the past, with our legacy system, we had about 20 AccuVotes with 3 judges each, so that totaled about 60 judges total. This year, we got through with 6. And as Stan mentioned, we only had to use the scanner. Sometimes it was every other day. They were just so fast that we couldn't feed them ballots quick enough. Digital adjudication, so what we're talking about here is resolution, was also extremely efficient and, as Stan mentioned, transparent. We had a big screen up where watchers could see exactly what the decisions of the voter or the election judges were, the way that it identifies potential overvotes, and you select the ballot. I wish we could demo that for you today, but we don't have time. But it was very easy. Our election judges absolutely loved it. I'm a little worried, as Douglas said, that they may not come back if we don't have a similar system next time. Future uses, the least confident votes and undervotes by density sorting that Stan mentioned, that's huge for, if the law changes and allows us to look for things, marks outside of the actual oval on a first count, especially in close races. It's a powerful tool for doing better elections in the future. It's easy to produce the images, the ballot images, and the cast vote records. It's just a simple extract, and we found that amazing as well. We, too, have had a core request and are working on exporting those, too. So in conclusion for our piece, we had some challenges, expected challenges, but it was a great pilot, a great process. We learned a lot, and it was a really wonderful partnership. It saved us a ton of money. We didn't need nearly as many judges as we had in the past, particularly in the scanning phase. And the voters loved it, and the poll watchers loved it. And that's what's really important. So with that, Stan, I didn't realize he snuck these slides in.
I'm Colleen Stewart. I'm clerk in Gilpin County. I was able to give Stan my 5 minutes because that's the extent of my PowerPoint, is the picture up there. That is a little puppy. Her name is E2, and she's training to be a service dog. One of our VSPC judges trains service dogs, and she asked if she can bring the puppy so that the puppy can kind of learn how to help the ADA voters. So she posed very nicely for that picture. She's a 3-month-old Australian Shepherd. So talking about the ADA, CLEAR, it's called CLEAR Access. It's a touch screen, And what our voters really liked about it is that it does print a paper ballot. And our election judges liked it because it was easy to show the voter. And I want to read a quote from one of our VSPC judges. She said, "Love this new equipment. As an election judge, I find it so much easier to explain this system to voters. Voters are more willing to vote electronically when I tell them it prints a ballot." We had 72 people vote in person, and only one insisted on voting the paper. Another comment was that they're not a computer person, but it was really easy to learn. One of the really nice experiences we had an 82-year-old man, and he always votes in person traditionally, and the judges encouraged him to vote electronically, and he said, "Oh, no, I don't do computers." And they said, "Oh, well, we could make the lettering larger for you. It'll be really easy. If you had a hard time, you know, then you can vote paper." Well, he had such a great experience. He said it was the best voting experience he ever had because he could read the ballot better because it was large lettering. And his daughter was there to see that. And, you know, it was just really gratifying for us to be able to provide that. The caption that I did want to put on that picture of E2 was, "The touch screen is so easy to use that even a puppy can do it." Some other comments is, you know, we're a small county. We only have about 5,000 voters. We have a very small election room in the basement, and I really appreciated the compactness of the hardware so that we had more room to work in that room. Also, as you all know, we had a CORA request this year, and it was really no problem for us to satisfy that CORA request. After the Canvas board was finished, we just copied the thumb drive and had all the PDFs and sent it off the next day. So that was really stress-free. And also the Canvas board, we usually spend the whole day doing Canvas. My judges were done before noon. They were off one vote, and I really think they did that on purpose because they didn't want to miss lunch. So after lunch, then they recounted and they balanced. So it was really very easy to learn. And I want to introduce my chief deputy and my election guru. As a small county, it's just Gail and I doing everything, and mostly Gail. And I want to thank you, Gail, because she's very dedicated to excellence in elections, and she agreed to this challenge of learning all this equipment and everything. And we had great support from Clear Ballot walking us through. In fact, so much support that we were like, we got it. You know, we understand it. We can do it. So I'm going to turn it over to Gail.
Hi, I'm Gail Maxwell. I'm the chief deputy up in Gilpin County, along with whatever, the elections director, the floor cleaner, the oh my God, it's happening person. Today I wanted to discuss one thing that is very close to my heart, and I want to thank you today, Dwight, for the setup for this. And of course, for those of you that came in early, you found out that we had a fire here at the building. Well, in Gilpin County, fire for me happens like every other month. So I'm talking about disaster recovery. And one of the things that I want the PERC committee to know is how fast can I move election equipment to another place? With the size of the equipment for Clear Ballot, it takes two of us to move all of the election equipment into my truck so that I could move that election to another part of the county. One of the other things that we look at as far as a disaster up in Gilpin County is not only our woods, and for the most part with fires, we're pretty lucky because we have money, and nobody's going to let our money burn down. So we're not too worried about that, but we do have our days that Grand County and Denver really can send us a storm, and that storm can level us with 8 foot of snow very quickly. The important thing is how fast can I move the equipment, where can I move that equipment to, and who am I going to have as judges all of a sudden, and how fast can I train them? This year, one of our judges was a police officer that got involved with a motor vehicle pursuit down the canyon, which most of you heard about, and he was put on some suspension. As he was sitting at home feeling sorry for himself, I decided that he should become a judge, come back into society. Within the 15 minutes, I was able to teach him the adjudication process for clear ballot, and he became our adjudicating judge. And also, he was a part of our last part of our scanning process for the evening. And we kept him late because he wasn't working anyway, so, you know, he might as well be a judge and hang around with us. That's the important part with clear ballot. When you are thinking, yeah, it's great, you're in Denver, you're going to have a set of beautiful 20 firefighters, wow, coming through the building. The fire that I had this year during the election, my fire department didn't show up. The fire department got given the wrong instructions. We had to send out another city to come up and visit us. I'm standing there looking at the fire, got the fire out, didn't know if the rest of the building was on fire. We did not lose our equipment. But this is our challenge in Gilpin County every day, every election. A lot of times Dwight hears me bitch about the internet between SCORE and myself, but it's actually the 100-year-old building. We just went through a flood last weekend in the basement where our water pipe broke. So when I am talking elections, it's not only knowing how to create the ballot, getting the ballot to the voters, but ensuring that the voters can vote. If that means that I have to take an oath of office with the entire fire department and sending them out to pick up ballots from people so that we can get ballots in and counted. Disaster recovery is very much something you need to look at as far as your county when it's time to vote. What are you going to do if all of a sudden you have to move everything and move it quickly? And I want to say that Clear Ballot stood out and it absolutely helped me out. I was able to upload all my information into the cloud so that if something did happen, I could get downloaded into a new voting center with new equipment as fast as Dell could recover it back to me. And with that being said, I want to thank all of you for being a part of the PERC committee. I'm with Stand. I think we need to keep everyone into the game. I think Colorado is a lot better off if they have a little competition in here. We're starting to see what voting systems can do. And I think we should let this wave go for a while. And let's see what the best comes out before we pick one. And my last comment is to the PERC committee and to Secretary Williams is, all I really want for Christmas is my clear ballot voting system. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Steve?
Steve Moreno, well, County Commissioner. And I guess this one probably more addressed with Adams County, because I was looking at the evaluation from Gilpin County here, too, on the exporting for the ballot on demand. And that maybe Adams County kind of could speak to their experience of using that system between the ballot on demand and exporting the data over to.
So
to print those ballots.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you to come up. We did bring our support staff. I didn't program the system myself. Kevin Stroud did that. We also have our VSPC and mail ballot people and voter registration team here. So I'm going to let the experts that did the work respond to that.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm the Kevin Stroud. I'm the technology and operations manager in Adams County. What I think it was more than anything, it was Renbeck's just the newness of the system that made it more difficult on their end. For us, it kind of, it was just a matter of exporting it and then getting with Runbeck to make it exactly what they needed. It wasn't much, it was just more than hitting a button. So it's like renaming files and things. It wasn't a big deal, but it was just a titch off from perfect.
Donetta?
Yeah, while you're still there, this is Donetta Davidson. When I was out there, I noticed that you have a new machine, a counting machine, just running the ballots through to count how many, you know, it's even before the ballots are opened, I believe. And it's counting the ballot? And I wondered, why are you having an extra step there to count them?
Danetta, are you talking about the OPEX opening machine or the ballot sorter?
It may be an opening machine. I thought
kind
it was...
Kind of in the corner?
Yes, it was in the corner.
So that machine, basically, once the signature verification has been approved on the ballot, that machine is simply slicing it open and making it a quick way for us to extract the ballots of the secrecy sleeve out. It saves time for the people that actually open it and so forth. So it wasn't really getting a count. It's just a more efficient way to slice them open and remove the ballot to get it ready for processing.
Okay, and while you're there, an auditing, I mean, I also noticed that there was some of your auditing was done by hand. Is that, you know, talk to me about your auditing process throughout the ballot a process.
Sure. So we, this year, and Rusty, our mail ballot manager, can maybe speak a little more to this, but we created a batch slip tracking sheet that goes through our batches. So one slip goes through the entire process with each batch of ballots. We did batches of 300. Those are counted at various stages. As you guys know, every time a ballot leaves a stage and goes to the next, you want to make sure you have the right number of ballots in that tray. So we did have multiple carbon copies of that, and if a signature was challenged, for example, and something removed from a tray, then that would be noted and it would go through. So we did audit our tray counts. We did didn't have a whole lot to do with clear ballot itself, but we do all the, you know, standard auditing you guys do, even with signature verification and so forth.
Teague Simonton, Eagle County Clerk. So when I was in Adams, I believe this is correct, and I wanted to get confirmation and then also maybe find out if they indicated they might be changing it. But it was necessary to predetermine the batch size that was scanned. Was that your experience?
Thanks, Teague. No, actually, we determined the batch size at our envelope sorter, the Agilis machine from Runbeck. We like to handle ballots in batches of 300. We find it efficient. So we have it automatically just spit out and sort into 300. Clear ballot doesn't care what batch size it is.
So if, for instance, in our county, we have a tray of 450 ballots, and they get around, and they're, you know, all opened up, laid out, ready to be scanned. And we take a chunk of that, and we don't know what we have in our hand. Maybe we have, you know, 300, maybe we have 250, maybe we have 286, whatever. And we put it through the scanner. Is the scanner going to, cumulative result going to indicate that this particular group of ballots is a certain quantity? It seemed that it was cumulative. It wasn't specific to the batch.
So each batch, when you get to the scanning part of Clear Ballot, each batch is, on the face of that, is put what's called a target card. And it does have a barcode that's unique to that batch number, and that's how the system tracks it. So the target card is placed on top of the ballots. Regardless of the number that are scanned through, it scans them all. And then with the election judges, their interface that they're looking at as the ballots are being scanned, it's telling them how many ballots are in that image, in that batch. So it wouldn't matter if it was 450 or 27, it's going to count those based on how many are in that particular batch in the target card. That number then is compared to our batch slip so that we're ensuring that the number that we sent to the scan station is indeed the number that got scanned.
Okay, great. And then a couple more quick questions.
Can I answer you real quick? Gilpin did ours. We did it a little differently. We did batches of 25, and we counted 25 ballots out to ensure that that's what the scanner was scanning. And we did that to check the scanner to make sure that the velocity of the scanner, it was picking up every ballot that was going through it. So that if somewhere along the line, if the batch came out and it was short a ballot, we would be able to stop then and go, whoa, we need to redo that batch because it didn't pick everything up.
Okay, thank you. Christy, you guys gave a lower grade to the ease with which you were able to lay out the ballot as required by law. Can someone speak to what that meant?
Kevin, do you want to come?
That was when we were laying out the ballot, we had some... I think it honestly could have been a buggy version after talking to Clear Ballot. We had some issues with things. We'd save them, we'd go back a screen, and they'd be gone. Like I said, after talking to Clear Ballot, they said that definitely shouldn't have happened, and they were very surprised to hear about it. But yeah, that was basically it, just kind of inconsistent saving here and there.
Okay. And then also similarly on the reporting capabilities, what was the function, what were the details and the configurations that you felt were lacking?
So the reporting as in the general reporting, not the ENR results, reporting?
Results capabilities.
We were lacking, I'm trying to remember the exact options, remind me, please.
So one of the things that Clear Ballot has worked on now, is the statement of votes cast, for example, is pretty rough. It doesn't have things like the election date, the county name on it. There are some fields that they're called non-votes that are included. And for Canvas purposes, it wasn't particularly helpful. So we ended up exporting the SOVC that comes out of Clear Ballot, putting it into a different document, and then we added those things to make it look a little more election-specific and removed columns that we didn't need, that sort of thing. So, you know, we've been talking to them a lot about how the reports should be modified, and they've heard everything we've said. They're already, I think, probably halfway through all of our requests to change those. But specifically, the SOVC it's a little rough in the current certified version.
Okay, thank you,
Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer Levin from Disability Law Colorado, and this might be more for Gilpin County since it sounds like you had some firsthand experience with people with disabilities voting. So I was just wondering if y'all noticed any excessive, like, did the voter need more assistance in certain areas of the voting experience, or was it a completely independent experience every time?
It's basically an independent, but what we have to do with our judges is have them take them through how it's set up. So we have a printer, so we have to let them know if they're not seeing well. The printer's right here. The box is right here once the ballot comes out. Here's the slot. Here's the screen. So if you're doing the touch screen and you can see the touch screen, this is where you're going to be. Do we need to change the color? What do we need to do to make it easier on you? That's pretty much what we do with our ADA people, is just to make sure they have an association as to where everything is at around them so that they can pick up and do that independent voting that you're talking about.
And once they had done the voting, were they able to drop the ballot on their own, or did they need assistance from a judge?
No, you can do that on your own. We have some very old 100-year-old ballot boxes that are very small, and we can set those under the monitor so you can pull off of the printer and stick right underneath the monitor.
Okay.
So they're pretty independent. The only thing we have to make sure is that they don't get caught up with anything.
Yes, the 82-year old man that I spoke of did not need assistance to vote. The judge just set up the larger print for him, and he voted totally independently.
Okay. And I appreciate the picture of the dog. It's cute.
Chuck?
Chuck Borman, El Paso County. In-person voting, did you count those ballots at the VSPCs, or did you bring them back to Central Count, and why?
Everything was done in a central count situation, so I was switching boxes out throughout the course of the day, just to keep our judges give them something to do downstairs to count. So I had several boxes that we would just bring up and take downstairs. It's not very far away, so we're just going from upstairs to downstairs with our VSPC.
If I could just chime in real quick, this is Dwight from the Secretary of State's office. The Clear Ballot system and the Dominion system in the temporarily approved versions did not have polling location tabulators. So for those two systems, everything, regardless of the county, was brought back for Central Count.
And that's what I was going to say. There really isn't a solution available for precinct level counting.
And then Clear Ballot's kind of the new kid on the block. Can either of the counties comment with respect to what do you thought of your perspective of their financial stability, the resources they have? Are they in for the long mile? Kind of what is your sense, since we don't have a data point to go on with some of the other vendors that have a track record? What is your thoughts, your perspective from working with them?
My thoughts on that is they're the new Apple. So if you're looking at buying stock in something, they're the new Apple. Get in there, get quick, It's going to go. It's going to make money.
I'm actually glad you asked that question, because when myself and some of my team members went to Boston this last week, we spent Sunday afternoon and Monday and Tuesday visiting with them. I had two objectives when we went to Boston to meet with Clear Ballot. One of those objectives was, how responsive are they going to be to our needs? A couple of weeks ago, we met with Clear Ballot. We had a list of issues that we wanted to go over with them. I wanted to go and find out in person how responsive they were going to be to those needs. Leaving that, I felt 100% satisfied with the response that we've got. The second thing that I went to Boston for was just that you asked about, Chuck. What's the stability of their company? I'm not just looking at a voting system for Adams County. I'm looking at a voting system that's going to meet the needs of Colorado. One thing that you probably will find out about me as I go through and be a clerk is I'm going to do my homework before I make a decision. And that's one of the things that I was going to do when I went to Boston. And I specifically asked, you know, what their financial stability was. I specifically asked to meet with their investors. We did that. We had dinner with them, a couple of them. There are many investors, but I wanted to talk to them, and I wanted to see, you know, what their philosophy and what their objectives and what their goals were behind investing in this company. One of those investors I just wanted to talk a little bit briefly about, he's a professor. His name is Michael Porter. He's from the Harvard Business School, and he's regarded as the father of modern business strategy. He just won the award in the Thinkers. It's called the Thinkers 50 Group. It's a national recognition. He was just recognized in London. And just a little quote from him. I just dug it out. I had it. But he said, most recently, Porter has applied his ideas to show how smart, connected products, those containing embedded sensors, processors, and software to create connectivity, are creating a technological revolution that will transform competition and have profound implications for society. These are the type of investors and these are the type of business minds that are surrounded with Clear Ballot. When we left Boston, I can tell you, Chuck, that I felt 100% confident in their financial strategy, if you will, or the financial investment. These folks are invested in Clear Ballot. They believe in it. They believe in the technology. They believe in the innovation. And I agree with Gail. This company will be around for a long time, and they will continue to innovate, and they will continue to change the way that we look at elections.
One final question, like I asked the other group, the Hart County, if the vendor that you piloted, you know, after putting all this work in, it was not selected, what would you do? Would you go back to your legacy system? Would you adopt it? What's that?
I'll move to El Paso County.
We'll take you.
We are in the market to purchase a new system this next year in 2016, and we will do that.
You will adopt the state adopter?
We will, yep.
Donato?
I have one question. I think Christy or maybe, you don't, whoever. In Adams County, your results came out backwards? Not maybe backwards, but do you have a problem with the results? What was the cause of that?
So I wouldn't say there was a problem with the results. Those are strong words, Donetta. What happened is Clear Ballot in the statement of votes cast, which we've already talked about, needs some work, sorted the highest vote getter first. So sometimes the no's were on top in the system, and sometimes the yeses were on top based on question passed or failed, and same thing with candidates. So even though we may have certified candidates in a certain order, the winning candidate was on top in our reports. The information was correct where that candidate was listed with the correct number of votes, but the sorting in the report and subsequently the sorting in ENR were off, and that's something that we've already talked to them about to get it corrected.
Okay, thank you.
Dwight?
Oh, I was. This is Dwight from the Secretary of State's office. What happened after we learned of that behavior with the results export from Clear Ballot, the ENR system maps so that it's looking at the first county, which happens to be Adams County, for the results for yes, no, on ballot questions. And as a result of that behavior, the results were, it flipped. No was being reported as yes, and yes was being reported as no. We figured it out in about 10 minutes, and it's just something we never saw in ENR before. We fixed it within 10 or 15 minutes. So just so everybody's aware, that is what happened with ENR. It's not Clear Ballot's fault. It's not really CITL's fault. It's an anomaly that we had never confronted before, and believe me, it surprised us too. But we got it fixed.
Thank you. Do you guys have any other questions?
Oh, I had just one.
I think this is probably best for Stan. On the further enhancements that you've discussed with Clear Ballot, which I think is the Clear Design Sandbox, the for lack of a better word, the Cora utility, and then the manner in which the ballot marking devices display the proper ballot style. Right now you have to select a precinct split, and they're working on that. And the statement of votes cast modifications, those are the ones that I remember you mentioning specifically today. Do you have a sense of Clear Ballot's timeline for completing that development?
We do. I'm just thinking of all four of those. The statement of votes cast will be in the next certification, January 19th. The core request tool that you're talking about will probably be trying, but that's not something that may have to go through certification. We're not positive about that. So I can't really answer that one yet, but certainly for the presidential, we want to have that completed. The coding by style versus precinct is in the works right now. We talked to Tab Iredale about that. Will be available for January 19th. And what was the fourth one on there?
I think the sandbox.
Which
also is not something that needs to go through certification.
Yeah, and that's actually available right now.
I think you said that was going to be fixed by our January
coding by style versus precinct. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, sorry.
Selecting the ballot styles on CAMS.
So selecting the ballot style on the Clear Access machine in production and will be through get certified in January 19th.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Tonetto.
I just wondered, Stan, is all that going to be included, but the cost is not an additional cost, all those upgrades?
As far as I know, yes.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you, folks, from Adams County and Gilpin County for reporting on your experience with Clear Ballot.
Thank you all very much.
Dwight?
Okay, we're scheduled, I think, for a 15-minute break. We are a little behind. If we could try to limit that to 10 minutes and resume here at 11:20, we'll hear from our next counties. Thanks.
No.
Hi, everyone. This is Dwight Shellman from the Secretary of State's office. Why don't we go ahead and start assembling our room here so we can start? And while we are waiting for the pilot counties for ESNS to come to the podium, Amber McReynolds asked that I do a plug for the ESRC. Apparently, she has asked all the counties to provide comments to Christy and Amber by today on the proposed rules. So if you have comments, please do send those to Amber and Christy so that they can compile those and submit them to us. And that is a completely unrelated topic. So if Jefferson and Teller are ready to proceed, I think we're ready.
I think we only have the one, so you need it for us.
Oh, where's Chuck? Hang on. I should wait for my committee member here.
Want me to go ahead or
wait for Chuck?
Wait for Chuck. Oh.
Sorry, folks. It's going to be just a minute. We lost a committee member. Hang on.
I'm surprised that Harvey's not here.
Should I do that?
He's out of town. Thank God.
I'm surprised you take it now.
Okay, we're ready to go. Go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Kellogg. I'm the Director of Elections for Jefferson County. And today with me, I have Aaron Amos, who's our Operations Manager. And then from Teller County, we have Crystal Brown, who's a Clerk and Recorder. And Crystal, would you introduce your team members, please?
I have with me Janice Hellman, my elections deputy, and Stephanie Wise, my chief deputy.
For the bulk of the presentation, I'll be speaking. Unfortunately, Faye wasn't able to be with us this morning, and so I'll start off with some comments on her behalf, and then we'll get started into the presentation. We were very excited to be part of the pilot program, and because of the long history and the relationship that we had with ESNS, they were our top choice to pilot. Many unexpected challenges came to us with the recall election. For those that of you that don't know, which I don't think there's anyone that didn't, we conducted a coordinated election and a recall election combined in this last year. So with that, we couldn't have done it easily without the new equipment. We were able to create a separate ballot set for the Uecava ballot for the recall that wouldn't have been possible on our legacy equipment. So we were very grateful that we had this opportunity to work with ESNS on this. And the reason why we had to do that was to meet the conflicting deadlines that the recall caused with the election. We were very pleased with the hardware and software, as well as the support that we received. And a good company is just not about their product. It's also the level of service and trust. And we couldn't ask for more from ESNS. I will switch to me and start into the presentation. We're going to do the presentation in tandem. So again, I'll speak to most of the content that's on the slides, and then Crystal and her team will come up afterwards. I'll turn it over to them, and they'll come up and make their comments. And I wanted to also say that most of the experiences that we talk about encompass both Jeffco and Teller County. So for the initial project planning, I also want to start that we, in Jefferson County, we counted over 185,000 ballots in this election, and we had 2,070 in-person voters at the VSPCs, and we had 11 VSPCs. At the onset of the project, ESNS created a project calendar and timeline with our input. Because the recall effort had already been started around the same time as we started the pilot project, it was extremely helpful that ESNS took lead on this. They took the time to meet with us and to understand our needs and business practices, and to incorporate those into the plan. The plan included a weekly conference call. We started with this in July and continued through November. And as the activities picked up, we would add meetings as needed. This helped both of our teams to keep on track. ESNS provided a central point of contact for us. Our point of contact for this project was Jake Johnson. This was very helpful because we could contact Jake directly with questions, and he would either get the answers for us or he would put us in contact with the core group of people at ESNS that needed to help us. Additionally, we had that core group of ESNS staff working with us, and they were all very knowledgeable on our elections. As we were working through the impacts of the election due to the recall, ESNS core group made themselves available to discuss and help with solutions. They adjusted to our recall needs with short notice. They offered more equipment so we could set up the required number of VSPCs and worked with us on ballot design solutions to deal with the UOCAVA mailing deadline conflicts. Even with the changes, all the equipment was delivered in time. Also, due to the recall, we had to set up 11 voter service and polling centers in our county to support issuing traditional paper ballots and mail ballots in the VSPC. ESNS provided us with a ballot on demand printer for each location. This allowed us to minimize the number of printed ballots, paper ballots that would be needed in the VSPC, as well as provide consistency so all of our VSPCs were issuing ballots in the same way. We think this is important because it speaks to the commitment that ESNS made to help us make this complicated Jefferson County election successful. I'll turn it over to Teller County now.
We as well had these, Janice Hellman, Deputy Clerk, Teller County. We as well had the same project calendar with ESNS, same weekly conference calls, same central point of contact. Jake Johnson was fabulous. Technical support was always there as well if I had something where Jake might not have been the one to contact. Our election obviously was much smaller than Jeffco's. We had a little over 6,500 mail ballots returned and only 51 people vote in person.
Moving on to training, the overall training experiences were very positive. The electionware training, which is the software that codes and programs the ballot as well as the election equipment, was scheduled for four days of training in Jeffco. ESNS, you know, some of the things that we really liked about it is that ESNS provided a laptop for each student and addressed the training styles of the group. They provided written materials as well as the verbal and hands-on types of experiences that make a successful training. Our staff built two practice elections with their data, and then they practiced with our coordinated election data while their trainer was on site and could answer questions. They really switched over quickly. ESNS also provided us with a trainer on site and in the following week while we were building the coordinated election ballot. The Jeffco staff member that's responsible for ballot layout, like Adams County, was a pretty newbie to this. She had worked in elections for a year and then was promoted to the position, which included the coding and ballot layout, just a few months before. She was able to catch on very quickly. She found that the step-by-step manuals that were provided were very useful. And at the time, we were not aware, one of the challenges that we had with this is that at the time, we were not aware that the import file could be used to help create an initial electionware database, and it didn't come up in training. This is something that we would try for future elections. For the hardware training for the DS-200 Express Votes and DS-850, it was scheduled for 4 hours for each type of equipment. The training was thorough, and the trainers stayed on site in the afternoons for one-on-one sessions and to answer questions. While the Express Pass, another challenge that we had is while the Express Pass printer was part of the Express Vote training, we felt that more training needs to be available for the setup and software for the Express Pass. I do want to say that during the presentation, I am going to talk about some challenges, but most of the challenges were pretty cosmetic, and they also were very easily, because we had the ESNS support on hand and they could observe it, most of them were taken care of and are either in development or were an easy change to the current system. So we figured out the Express Vote setup on our own, and with just a few minutes of but some practice in the future would be helpful during the training sessions. Again, I'll turn it over to Teller.
We had the same training schedule that Jeffco did. We had 4 days of in-person training. All three of us were involved. Once we were complete with that, we did start building the election. During the training, though, we did have a few concerns about ballot style setup versus precinct style setup. And we were told that with the ESNS electionware, that the option was precinct was the only way to set it up. And so we proceeded on with that when we started building the ballot. Hardware training. We had a couple hours for that. The manuals that were provided for that were great, very thorough. We felt very comfortable with the machines and moved on to the hardware diagnostic testing. And I think that was all of our training.
So moving on to pre-election setup, which includes the delivery and setup of the equipment. ESNS met the delivery schedule that was established in the timelines. If adjustments needed to be made, they were very good about contacting us. We encountered an issue with the freight company having a problem finding our elections location. But even with that, all the equipment was delivered on time and for us to set up and stay on schedule. There were a couple of consumable items that we needed fairly quickly, and ESNS made sure that those were delivered to us overnight. For setup, the ESNS staff came on site. They unboxed and assembled all the equipment with us so that we could also learn how that everything goes together. They did this in 2 days. They tested the equipment both on their own and were on site to assist us in our pre-election testing as well. All the equipment was really easy to test. The logic and accuracy test went smoothly. Our testing board picked up quickly on how to mark their express ballot and use the DS-200. We also completed trusted build in a couple of hours with no issues.
Our freight delivery was no issue. They had no problem finding us in Cripple Creek. They were on time and ready to go. ESNS came and set up the equipment, and probably took about a day. We didn't have near as much. During testing, we did have two people from ESNS on site. We also did the trusted build that afternoon. We encountered a problem when scanning ballots through the DS-200 that on certain ballot styles, it would pop up and ask for a precinct. Well, we weren't doing it by precinct in the traditional sense. So we tried to come up with a workaround at that point. After we went through that afternoon, Stephanie and I discussed a little bit more, and we actually called Jefferson County to see how they were handling the precinct issue. They had programmed their ballots in a ballot style manner that had not previously been addressed to us. We proceeded to reprogram the election the next day, and move forward that way and had no more issues with the precinct from there on. And Trusted Build was fine as well.
Again, talking a little bit more specifics about ElectionWare, we found that the ElectionWare was easy to figure out, set up, and use. It's very intuitive and easy to navigate, and allowed us to make changes to ballot layout much easier than our legacy software did. The key change from the legacy system is that ElectionWare has one program for all modules and equipment. The software offers many features that made coding much easier than with the legacy system. Some of the features we felt important to highlight are that the program screen layout is intuitive. The buttons and menus on the screens were in a similar order to other software programs and formats. The program has the ability to create formatting templates for future elections, which will save time. It alerts the user on screen when the layout is too large, which makes it easy to see layout errors. The table view made it easy to see all contests and candidate data at the same time. And it has a checks and balance feature that prevents the user from adding the same precinct to multiple districts. These created efficiencies that cut down significantly on the amount of time that it takes to code the election. With the audio ballot, we could create our own audio files and proof them ourselves. The legacy system didn't have this feature. We had a few words that the software had difficulty pronouncing, so it took several attempts to get it corrected. However, the system allows for an audio library to set up again for future use so that you don't have to recreate those and it saves time. The interface between ElectionWare and Everyone Counts required ESNS to manually create an import file. They are working on a future ElectionWare version to automatically generate this file and working with Everyone Counts on that interface. One of the challenges that we faced with ElectionWare was with the recall. Because recall questions are not conditional in the state of Colorado, there is a default in the ESNS ElectionWare software that does have conditions on it, but we were easily, once it was discovered and once it was easy to go back, correct the questions and the successor candidate races and make them individual races. We didn't have to go, you know, all the way back to the beginning to do it. It was a fairly easy and quick fix.
I really enjoyed programming the ballot in ElectionWare. It was in a format that I'm more accustomed to with style sheets. The red boxes to warn you of errors, the scanning for issues was wonderful, is much easier than our legacy system. The programming of the audio was fabulous. We have been having a boiler replaced, and our election room is directly next to it. There's a lot of banging, and had I had to record the audio in the traditional sense with all that banging, it would have probably taken me a day or more. So we are grateful for that. As far as any challenges, we really didn't experience the one with Everyone Counts. Thankfully, Jefferson County found that first and and began working on that with ESNS. So all we had to do was export our file and send it to them, and they did all the work for us. So it was not near as big a challenge for us as it was for them.
Jefferson County used the Express Vote ballot marking device in the VSPCs, and we also used the DS200 scanners in each one of the VSPCs as well. Teller County did something a little bit differently, so they'll talk about the DS-200 as our central counter in a little bit. So for the express vote, it was easy for the judges to set up without assistance. The judges like the units. The judges liked that the units could be turned on once and left on until election night. They could be left running overnight. The judges just closed and sealed the kiosk doors at the end of each night. And there were no zero tapes to print because it's not a tabulator. The average time for the voter to mark a ballot was between 3 and 5 minutes. Because of the recall questions, we had some very long ballot questions. We think that regular ballots would probably take even less time. The units can be easily daisy-chained together. Only one outlet is needed for every 5 units. We did have one power cord that came loose during the transport. It was very easy to reconnect on site. The unit only needs 2 seals. One needed to be removed and resealed daily, which cut down on the amount of time it takes to complete seal logs. For ADA accessibility, the express vote kiosk can be set up in a sitting position at different levels for voters who need it. A few of the challenges that we experienced with the express vote, again, they were mostly cosmetic. The judges reported that the locks on the kiosk doors were hard to lock, but we found as they used them more, they kind of got the knack of it and were able to do it fairly easy. There was an exit button on the express vote, which returned the ballot paper back to the voter without printing any of their choices onto the ballot. We talked with the ES&S about this, and they are looking at changing that button to say cancel, so the voter more easily knows that they need to go to the next page so the ballot can be printed once they've marked it. There is a navigational more button on screens that have questions that have require more than one screen, and with the recall question that was fairly long, it took 3.5 screens. So it was that more button was more difficult for some people to see. It was at the bottom of the screen, but we saw that we saw it more at the beginning of the voting, and then the judges adjusted by telling voters what to expect before they walked up to the machine and started voting, and that seemed to solve the issue. We did have one question where the yes/no were split between 2 screens. We found the solution while we were doing the setup. And it moved it onto one page. In the next electionware version, this issue's been addressed, so the software will not allow for this. And I'm going to turn it over to Teller.
We were fortunate. We had a much shorter ballot than Jefferson did. I think our average time for a user for express vote was probably 1 to 2 minutes. If they read the full ballot text, so they were much faster to go through. We also had more seals on our express votes than they did. It was a decision that was made during the hardware diagnostic testing and trusted build that we would put more seals on it. But at the same time, it was still very easy for our judges to set them up. They turned them on, sealed them, and then left them running the entire remainder of the election. Challenges, we had the same problem with the exit button. We had a voter that got very frustrated with it, but that was the only person who really had difficulties with it. We explained to all of our judges after the fact as a point for them when they told when somebody was going to vote to, you know, make sure they went through the next button, then hit print so that it did not print them a blank ballot. And what other challenge we had different stands. We had one kiosk out in the field, but we also had different stands. They were a little more flimsy, and we had some issues with the doors. My understanding is that there are different stands in place going forward other than those.
Uh, With the DS200 and the VSPCs, some of the things that we liked about it, again, it was easy for the judges to set up unassisted. They liked that the zero report printed automatically. Also, having the DS200s and the VSPC allowed us a faster way of reconciling the number of ballots cast in the VSPC every day than the central count system that we had used in past elections. One of the features is that the DS200 saves a flash drive immediately. This also gives the ability to take the flash drive to another DS200 to generate results or to continue scanning in a contingency or disaster situation. Again, this is something that our legacy system didn't provide. We had one issue or challenge with the DS200 in one of our voting locations. The sensor that detects multiple ballots kept giving us an error message that it was doing that. We believe the sensor was jarred sometime during the delivery. We simply replaced the unit at the location, and the other unit worked fine.
We used the DS200s both at our VSPCs and as a central count. Out in the field, they worked great. Our voters really liked them. We only had one jam in the field, and Jake happened to be with us that day. So we went, we cleared it, we explained to the judge again how to clear it, and it worked great from there. We felt that they did have a sturdy, professional appearance out in the field, and our voters are accustomed to seeing those machines. We haven't used that type of equipment in a few years, but it's something that they are more accustomed to, so they were very comfortable with it. As far as the challenges go, with it being in the central count, the scanners are a little bit slower than our optical scanners that we've used in the past. But from working with ESNS, we know that they do have another one in the works that's actually ready, I believe, to be deployed. The DS450 that would be more of a middle ground and would be something that we would utilize as a central count and then continue to use the DS200s out in the field for the VSPCs. Also, in using it at the central count, when you go to close the polls to pull your results at the end of the election night, it takes a little while to close. It took approximately 20, 25 minutes to run the report from central count with a little over 5,000 ballots on it. So that's something that going forward we know that we will need to account for on election night to make sure that we are posting our results at 7 o'clock.
We used two DS850s in our central count. Most of our tabulation batches contained about 1,400 ballots. The average processing time for the batch was 15 minutes completely through the election. This included opening the box, printing the reports, and completing the accounting forms. The nice thing about the DS850s is that it only requires one operator per machine. We did have two machines, but we could have easily counted our ballots with just one. We processed approximately 47,000 ballots on election day. The staff found the scanners easy to operate and user-friendly. The operation screen and instructions were easy to use and understand. We used the 850 number imprint feature that prints a consecutive number on each ballot during the scanning process. This was useful for the risk-limiting audit because it helps to identify the ballots that are in the tabulation box, which we use later during the risk-limiting audit test. It also helped the operator identify double feeds that were outstacked as unreadable. Because if two ballots were pulled through, one didn't have a number imprinted on it, so they could easily identify it to rerun through the machine. We used a 17-inch ballot, and it processed faster through the scanner. We encountered less jamming than we had with our legacy system. The scanner counts both traditional size ballots and the express vote ballots on the same machine. Batch reports printed automatically after saving the batch. The operator didn't have to do anything extra to get the reports, which saved time in the process. We saw a reduction in the number of ballots sent to resolution and duplication. ES&S will have an electronic adjudication, which will be available next year. We did meet with a development team that is working on the adjudication program to discuss Colorado needs. With results in reporting, ENR worked well. It was the same as it was previously. The order of results for the ENR reports were not in the same order as the ballot layout, and that was something that we discovered after the fact, but it's a simple adjustment in the ballot setup, and so we would know what to do for the future. And future versions of the electionware will have more reporting, more advanced reporting functions, and will eliminate the separate reporting program that it currently has.
We did not use the DS-850. We're just not quite, don't have enough ballots for that. Results and reporting were fine for us. A few little challenges with ENR. One was a user error, and then we had an issue with ENR not marking complete, but that was, you know, separate from the software.
We chose to offer our HCF voters a
You're just about out of time. So.
Okay. Well,
okay.
I'll wrap up quickly.
Thanks.
One of the things that I wanted to point out is that we chose to for our HCF voters to either vote their paper mail ballot or to use the express vote. We had some very positive feedback from those voters, and some of them actually filled out the evaluation form as well, so you do have that information. The judges could transport the express vote easily in a padded case. They carry them like laptops, and the setup was easy. They just cut the seal and switched it on, and the express vote was, we were able to set it up on a tabletop. Just some additional thoughts. The risk limiting audit, we were able to, because the numbers were imprinted on the ballots, we were able to add a couple of columns to the cast vote record spreadsheet, which allowed us to identify where the ballots were in the box, and we could easily easily find those ballots during the RLA test. We had over 900 voter surveys completed, and from those, they were overwhelmingly positive. And ES&S always provided surplus and accessories and a surplus of accessories and consumables, and they had local people here in Colorado who could come over quickly if we needed them, which also was very helpful to us. Again, we talked about some cons in our presentation. Most of the issues were easy to work around or correct and could have been encountered while conducting elections with any type of equipment. When we identified an issue, ES&S worked with us, and they took our feedback to work on future versions. I just want to close with a personal observation. I've worked in elections in Colorado for the past 15 years and have been involved in several implementation projects, either with equipment or processes. For a project this scale, this was one of the smoothest implementations I've experienced. The dedicated staff of the Jeffco Elections and the judges, along with the excellent support from ES&S, helped us to conduct a successful combined coordinated and recall election.
Turn it over to Teller again.
I know we're short on time, but I do want to reiterate how it was a very easy process, even though this could have been a lot more difficult. ES&S, their staff, their technical support was always there when we needed it and made it a very easy experience, considering this could have been a lot more stressful trying to do this for a coordinated election. And I'm going to let Crystal say a few words.
Hi, Crystal Brown, Teller County Clerk. I want to thank all of you for your time. There's really not much I can say other than what the ladies have already gone over, other than ESNS is not new to the election world, and they know what Colorado needs, and they're wonderful. Their staff, their equipment, their support, everything, they have just been wonderful to us. We had a wonderful pilot election, and no election is perfect, but we were pretty darn close. And to answer your question just a little bit early, if ESNS, if the secretary does not choose them, we are in the market of buying new equipment, but I don't know that we'll do that till after the presidential unless he does choose ESNS. Thank you for your time.
Questions from the committee? Teek.
Okay, hi, thanks everybody. I have a couple of questions. When I was in Jefferson County, and I wasn't there for a long period of time during the central count scanning, but it seemed to me that the design of the scanner was more, I guess, compatible with flat ballots than ballots that had been received in the mail, and sometimes seemed like the folds were causing jams, and I wanted to know from the counties who actually were in that process, as opposed to hearing from the vendor, and I personally witnessed one ballot being kind of chewed up, but how frequent did that type of issue occur with the large scanner? I guess that would be to Jeffco.
Teek, when you were in the county, that was one of the first batches that we were processing through. And we really only encountered that three or four times in the entire process, and not to the degree that you saw it in that one. We found that, you know, I think it's a technique too, and just flattening those ballots just a little bit more, and they were going through the equipment without any problems at all after that.
Okay, good. Yeah, that, I mean, with our current system, we have to do that too. We have to make sure there's a back fold, you know, manual press down of that folded ballot to enable the scanner to accept it more consistently. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, Twenty to 25 minutes to close the polls. Was that at the central count, or was that at your polling places? And can you give a little more detail on that?
That was at the central count, and that had approximately 5,000 ballots at that point in time. Closing at the polls at the BSPCs, they had 20 to 30 votes on there, and those took 5 minutes of that.
So I guess I don't understand what is involved. I mean, if you're uploading or transferring or creating reports, it's what you've had scanned through 7 p.m.?
Correct.
So how would you mitigate that? What would your process be to, would you do that at 6? Can you do it at 6:30?
We could do it at 6:30. We have actually talked about this process already. And if we do go with ESNS, one thing we can do is do smaller batches and close the polls and run the tapes at 500 ballots, 1,000 ballots, and then put those in the vault, seal it until election night at 7 o'clock when we start running results to post.
And am I correct, Carrie, that would be unique to a county that would be using the small scanners as opposed to the 450 or the whatever those numbers are,
yes,
and the 850?
That would be.
So you didn't have that?
No, we did not.
Okay. And Carrie, you said that it was taking you 15 minutes per batch. How big were those batches?
1,400.
Okay.
They averaged about 1,400, and that did include opening the box and doing our internal accounting piece.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck.
Chuck Brumman, El Paso County, Jefferson County. I think you told me once that you had put money aside to purchase a system. Are you planning on going forward for the presidential? If your vendor is selected, would you be going forward this year, or will you be waiting?
Yes. If ESNS is chosen, then we would be moving forward with that. If If it's not, we'll have to reevaluate.
Okay.
Rather our process, whether we would want to do that in a presidential
election. Stay with your possibly would stay with your legacy?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yes.
Tanana.
Christy, I've got a question. You said that you wanted to purchase this year or this next year if it was ESNS. My question is to you, with the scanners that are there currently, they do not work for a risk-limiting audit because it, you know, it mixes up the ballots. So
are you talking about my legacy system or are you talking about
the system that you use this during the pilot?
Okay.
So how, I mean, their new scanner that they're developing is not completed yet and hadn't been tested. How late do you think you could wait for that type of equipment before you'd say, I can't use it in a primary election?
Probably that's something that we discussed, I thought, and that through the risk limited that would be approved with ESNS before we had moved forward. So we were looking forward to the 450 having that.
And how do you feel? I mean, also I know that they didn't have the capability for both counties to do the ballot comparing the ballots, judification, yeah. So
it's also something that's in the process. So that's why, I mean, I think as far as how we would think that's.
Yeah, and time is short. So, I mean, definitely you would want that for the election, I would think.
We'd certainly like to have that efficiency for the election, but I think that we would move forward using the duplication system that we have now until that package could be fully developed and released.
Okay. The other thing is you commented that ESNS provided a surplus of accessories and other things that was needed. Do you think they would do that? Are you saying they would do that for any county that would be if we decided to go with ESNS for the state?
I do believe that they would. I believe that the level of support that we saw with this pilot program is very similar to the expectations that we have for implementation, you know, if it's county, if it's statewide or within our county. They provided that with us, but I think that they would be smart in, in putting it into places where it could easily be accessible by other counties if other counties might need it as well.
And I also would like to say to both of you guys, like we have said to the others, we really appreciate your testing the equipment. I was in both of your counties, and well, I think I made all 8 counties, and it was a great experience to be able to review and to see how each and every one of the systems work. So thank you.
Dwight,
thank you.
Thanks. This is Dwight from the Secretary of State's office. And to both Teller and Jefferson, and no offense to Teller, but especially Jefferson, you had an amazing election, and it was challenging. And you guys, but both counties really did a really great job. And thank you so much. I just had 2 questions from, I think, primarily from Carrie's presentation. I beg your pardon. Janice, this is for you, I guess. Can you clarify the precinct versus district issue? I think you said you were initially told that you could not build a ballot by district style.
Or by ballot style.
Style. Yes. And then I think, because I remember hearing about this, Jefferson County, I think probably Aaron, figured out a workaround. So my question is the system capable of building ballots and reporting results by ballot style or district style, or do you have to kind of force it to do that?
Based on the way we built it, I feel that it is capable of doing it. There might be an easier way programming-wise for them to
you know, modify the software to do it. But the way we did it, we're a smaller county, so we don't have as many ballot styles. But we were able to make it work that way. It's just knowing going into it that that's how you need to start versus putting in all your precincts, your splits, your districts, and doing all that work on the front side and then realizing, oh, wait, that's not how we want to do it. And once we did it the other way, it was fine. It was great.
Okay. And Aaron, can you briefly just describe the workaround? Were you just basically putting a single split in for?
Right. I don't know if it was so much a workaround as just a miscommunication in the terminology that was used in electionware. The way that we did it, we, you know, put all of our information into SCORE, let the SCORE generate and tell us what ballot styles we had. And then we used those ballot styles as what electionware calls precincts, but it was really our ballot styles.
Okay.
So electionware's precinct one was our ballot style precinct one. Instead of putting in 300 precincts, we only had to put in 34 precincts, which were actually our ballot styles.
To hold each style.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Exactly.
And then when you report out results, are the results reports indicating that those are results for a precinct?
No, they said ballot style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And then the other question I had was, and this may be also for Teller County, I was kind of getting lost when you were talking about the audio. I know you said it was much easier than the legacy system. I thought Carrie said that you recorded your own, but I may have misunderstood. Are you able to record your own audio, or does it force you to use like a computer synthesized audio?
You can record your own audio, but we use the synthesized, and then you can make the tweaks to it.
Okay. Okay. Great. Those are the questions I have. Thank you.
Jennifer.
Jennifer Levin from Disability Law Colorado. We were able to actually come to Jeffco and test with a tester who had never used equipment before. He'd always mailed in his ballot. And he had visual impairments, and he did have a difficult time operating the system independently. And I was just wondering if you were able to observe any people with any kind of disabilities trying to work on the equipment on their own, or did they need assistance when they were doing it?
We did. We had two voters in that were completely blind that use the system. I'm going to let Aaron talk to that a little bit.
Yeah, so we had in the VSPCs, we did have at least two voters that were blind use the express vote. And, you know, we had a script that the judges, before they handed them their ballot card, you know, a script that they went through to explain the machine to them and how to use it and how to use the keypad. And they were both able to vote independently on their own. At least one of them filled out the survey, and it says on his survey, I'm a blind voter, and I whatever. And so we know at least his experience was positive. I didn't talk to the other voter, but there wasn't any issues that the judges brought up with us.
He didn't need assistance from a judge to help him drop his ballot or anything like that?
Just to get from the express vote over to the DS-200 to deposit it, but he was able to put it into the slot and feed it himself.
Okay. Is there any way you could fix that situation between the casting of the ballot and then dropping it to make it so they wouldn't need assistance from a judge?
Yeah, so ESNS has told us that in future versions of the express vote, there's an actually, I think they call it autocast, is that right, guys? Where you can either return the ballot and take it over to the box, or you can have a ballot box attached to the express vote, and then it will automatically deposit the ballot into the box so that they don't have to have the ballot returned to them.
Okay, thanks.
Dwight? We're done. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, we would like to thank both Jefferson and Teller counties for piloting that particular system, and thank you for your time and opportunity to present to us your findings. Dwight, what's next?
So I think up next, if we can all motor through, we will have a lunch break, but just because we have the counties here waiting, if we could go ahead and prepare for the Denver and Mesa County presentations regarding their experience with the Dominion voting system. Aaron.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
The floor is all yours.
I think it's evening by now, or anyway. Anyway, I think you left the best for last. Anyway, my name is Deborah Johnson. I'm the Clerk and Recorder of Denver. With me is the Clerk and Recorder from Mesa, and there's all of our staff that are here. I think you will see that our presentation probably is going to be the shortest, so I just want to make that. And also, Sheila and I served on the UVS committee prior to this committee, and so we really do feel your pain. And so I just want to say thank you. We are very grateful to be a part of the pilot. I think it's kind of unique in that Denver, yes, we've been using Dominion, but in Mesa, they have not. They went from a completely different system. So I think we bring a different perspective. In Denver, we were able to use this system in three different elections in 2015. So every time we did it, it got better. So I think that is also unique. What we're going to do today is that Sheila and I are going to kind of go on a high level in terms of administratively what we saw in the pilot, and then our staff is going to go into more of the operational issues that we came up on. Like you heard, everyone today is that we all are going to be up here exemplifying all the great things that these vendors did. But you got to remember where we came from. Look at the systems that we are all using today. So, of course, we're going to say they're great and they're better, because they are great and they are better than what we've been using. So besides telling you how great Dominion is, I think we want to also outline some of the essential functions. Adams County did a little bit of the systems, and then also, too, of the value of a vendor in terms of what we saw during this pilot. Some of the essential functions that we really think is important is efficiency, which is really looking at the process improvements that equal cost savings. And you'll see our staff will outline some of the cost savings that we realized during this pilot. And then sustainability, really looking at what the system meets the needs today, but doesn't compromise what we may need in the future. I think that's really important, that do we have that does that system have that capability? And then also, too, you know, you're going to be looking at the financials, the technical qualifications, the capacity of these vendors. Do they have a proven performance? Do they have proven experience? I think that's very important when you're looking at a system for the whole state for Colorado. But there's also, too, some additional attributes that I think are really important. One of them, the functionality of scalability. You saw all of the different vendors on how they worked in a small county and in a large county. But does that really look at how are we going to be able to use this equipment 10 years from now? Because obviously that's how long we keep our equipment. Is it going to be sustainable over that and scalable for that period of time? Also, too, I think in terms of a vendor, are they visionary? Are they really looking forward to the future? You know, you heard about some of these vendors and how they are developing it now. We should have had it developed now. And is it available to us now? And so do they really look at, you know, the future needs? Are they listening to their customers and really listening to what are our needs here in the state of Colorado? And also, too, the flexibility. I think that looking at Dominion's Democracy Suite and that software solution and using almost totally off-the-shelf products, where you can have the off-the-shelf products improve as those industries improve without the expense of the development of that existing voter vendor. And also, too, then we can work on those efficiencies and the capabilities of the software system to really tailor to the needs of Colorado. So I'm going to turn it over to Sheila now and let her explain what happened in Mesa.
Thank you. Sheila Reiner, Mesa County Clerk and Recorder. As a member of the former UVS committee, as Deb mentioned, we both served on that committee under the prior Secretary of State. So we understand, I think, what the systems should be doing for the state of Colorado. And during those times, we discussed the benefit of having less vendors, the benefit of training, standardization, and cost. And then another concept that was sought was regional support and fluidity between one county and another and the abilities for the counties to help each other. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I want to start saying that I am a user of a different system. And from my hire in the elections division as a technician in 2001, ESNS is the only system I've known. ESNS has been a good partner. I have nothing negative to say about that company or the service that they provided our county. But if it weren't for my staff who came here to Denver in May and watched the Dominion presentation, I wouldn't have gone ahead and piloted a different system. My comfort level wasn't there. I listened to them, I took a leap of faith, and I'm glad that I did. I have been very impressed with Dominion. They're committed to excellence and they're committed to the state of Colorado, and I believe every word of it. They supported us in an outstanding manner. We had no problems during the election whatsoever. My elections director might talk a little bit about her experience and some of the technical things that we came across, but very, very smooth experience for us. And the other thing I'll talk about is just the fact that I went on a tour and saw the other systems in action. And in my opinion, I think that Dominion has the most scalable, developed, and sustainable system currently up for grabs for the state of Colorado. So I'll close with that. And as far as I want to touch on one more thing on the regional support, we talked a lot about counties helping counties in our previous committees. And the Dominion is one of the companies that fully support that idea. So if one of my neighboring counties only has one central scanner, for instance, and they needed another, Dominion has no problem with Mesa shipping one of ours over there or vice versa in order to cover each other during an election cycle. And not all vendors respond that way, and I think that's important. I'd like to introduce my elections director, Amanda Paulson, and she's going to take the next slide.
Good morning, Amanda Polson, Mesa County Elections Director. I have a little bit of a cold, so if I cough on you, I apologize. I'm sandwiched in between everyone talking about ballot programming, so it might not be the most riveting part of our little speech here. But, you know, there's a running joke in our office that when it's ballot programming time, no one else is allowed to touch the mouse but me. It's probably my favorite part of the election. So when I had the opportunity to learn a new system and program a ballot on it, I was, a little reluctant to give up what I already knew because, you know, you like your comfort zone. And B, I was a little scared about the timeline. We were going to train and build our ballot at exactly the same time. So when Jennifer, our trainer, showed up on Tuesday, we were going to program a ballot, have it proofed into the vendor by Friday, which is about as much time as it took to do a ballot previously without any training at all in our previous system. She got there, she did a little run through the equipment, and we started programming a ballot, and from start to finish, it took about 2 days, which is probably half the time it would have taken previously, and that did include a little bit of time to reprogram a bit where we had programmed it inadvertently by precinct instead of ballot style. So it did take some adjustment to get to programming by ballot style, and the lady who was training us said that, you know, her fault. She should have just told us differently. And I think seemed a little new to her as well to program by ballot styles, but it went really well. And in comparison to what we used to have, I don't want to spend too much time dwelling on the negative of the old system, but in comparison, there are so many vast improvements from an old system to a new system. And I'm going to try to run through them really quick without reading off a list. So the first thing is, in the previous system, it was set up in modules. So there was 5 modules that you had to take a ballot through to get from beginning to end. In this system, it's all in the same module. So there's no closing out of one system and going into a previous one to fix an error that you might find when you're doing your audio ballots, that you then have to redo everything you've already done. So previously, when you found an error, for example, in your audio ballots or your electronic ballots, there was a checklist that you had to go through. It was a page-long checklist of things to go back, and if you fix it here, then you have to fix it here, 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 and here to catch all of the places in which that change need to be made. And in this case, if you find an error, you go back, you fix the text file, and it's done. It's a substantial time savings. Another time savings we found was in the actual physical layout of the ballot. It used to be manual. So all of your content would be thrown on a ballot, and then you would go in and you would add where you want your headers to be, what you want your headers to look like, where you want those races to start on the page. And this is essentially automatic. It goes onto the ballot for you. Without you having to make those manual manipulations. Now, if you want to make a change, you can go in and do some of the manual manipulation, but you don't have to. And that was probably the most time-consuming part of doing a ballot previously, which is now an automatic process. Another time savings we found was in exporting files. You can set the file name in the program as you're building the ballot instead of exporting them and then renaming them outside of the system. That actually saved us time when programming for our UOCAVA ballots and our BOD ballots. You can save templates. I think ES&S mentioned that they also have the capability of templates, and it's a wonderful idea I'm fully in support of. You can set your template to how you want it to be. You know, if your headers for Mesa County ballots are essentially equivalent every time, you can set that template and reuse it. You can set multiple templates, so you can have a template for a coordinated or a general or a primary, and just select that template when you're actually doing your layout bits. This one, I wish I would have brought an exhibit with me to show you, but I think everyone remembers zip disks. And that is how we previously used to transport definitions and results, is by zip disks. And now it's automatic. You don't have to do the transfers at all. It happens through your network. It's a wired network, and it goes to the server and then out to all your other locations without having to transfer files manually at all. Let's see here. I've already touched on that, but I do want to say a couple other things about programming before I hit my other 2 points, because I think I've gone a little over my time. But the database backups are very easy on Dominion. When you finish off for the evening, you run a database backup, you save it off, and if you were to have any disaster of any kind, it would be there for you, and you could recover to exactly where that database backup was, which is a very handy thing, gives you a lot of peace of mind at night. I tended to save mine to a jump drive and take it home with me so that you know, if the building burned down in my absence, I would have it with me. But that was a very handy thing, as well as there are more reports built into RTR than I could possibly ever use. The reporting functions are phenomenal with Dominion. There are a report for any little thing you could possibly want to look at. And I ran them all during Canvas just to play and see, you know, which reports I wanted to use. And some of them maybe not as usable for our purposes in Colorado, but it's nice to have the option. And I think that Dominion would be very responsive to any request we have for report amendments or changes. And I'm going to skip past that and go into, can we go back to that previous slide? Sorry. I do want to say really quick two things. we had a number of candidate issues at the last minute pop up. After proofing had already happened, we had candidates drop out on Thursday and Friday. So, you know, our first response to that was, well, shoot, you know, going to call the husband, I'm going to miss dinner tonight. And, you know, we thought, well, I think I remember telling Sheila, that's going to take 4 hours to fix that. And it took me 15 minutes both times. The first time with the trainer there, she was able to walk me through it. And the second time I did it without her assistance, it was an easy process, as well as, we had a candidate issue arise during the election that might have required us to stop counting votes for that candidate, and we were fully prepared to do it with the functionality that is built into the Dominion system. So, and with that, I will hand it off to Jesse. He's our election coordinator and dealt very heavily with our VSPCs.
As Amanda said, I'm the elections coordinator for Mesa County with the service centers, and because of that, I'll be spending a lot of time speaking about judges and voter experience, but first I'd like to say that personally for myself, and I think for my fellow staff members, if I can speak for them, that we were told up front about the ease of use of the system, and I saw it firsthand here in Denver at the demonstration in May, and we were not disappointed at all. We really were able to grasp it very quickly, and really to our happiness, that was able to show when we went to training for the judges themselves. We had originally slotted about a half a day in all to train the judges, with the understanding that it could take up to a couple hours to train them on the portion with the machines themselves, and it took less than half an hour. And we were very amazed by that because we have a lot of judges who are elderly, so we were really concerned with that, and we were really impressed. And that really translated well to the service centers themselves. We were able to set up very quickly. It really allowed itself to let voters see the simplicity of it. That was the main feedback we got when voters came in, was how familiar it looked. It was just the tablet setup and the printer. And that was probably the number one comment we got, was how the tablets themselves were like something they would use at home. So it really allowed voters to get in and out of service centers probably within 5 minutes, which they were very happy about, especially for our service center at Goodwill, because they had shopping to do. And we also felt very comfortable with the judges running the system. And with the troubleshooting aspect, even though we didn't have really anything of note, it was nice to know that they understood it well enough to handle anything if it would arise. I think the one thing that we did get feedback on, which was my favorite, one of the voters commented on the size of our paper. They felt it was too thick, which was brought about in the first place because voters didn't like the thin paper. So that was my favorite complaint from the voter, and actually the only one. So when the voters came in, We were able to keep the setup itself very clean, which I think they liked. We didn't have any cords showing at all. The setup, because of the way the cords run from the tablets themselves to the server, we were able to funneled those through actually a box that we formatted into the, what we call the switch box that, that the judge could check at the end of the day to ensure that it hadn't been opened or messed with. And that was mainly just for peace of mind for themselves and for the voters. So primarily what I'm saying is it really was nice to see voters react so well with something so new. I really made myself available to run out there if we had any issues with voters who didn't feel comfortable with the tablet setup, and I was really surprised by how little I heard from that aspect, from the troubles of it. Just running off from those, I think it was about as smooth as I could ask for. This was my first election, especially with service centers. While I haven't had previous experience with ESNS in the service centers, I have experience with the machines themselves and testing and setup. And these were very portable. They took up much less space inside the service centers themselves. And I think one comment we did get during the mock election that we ran was voters liked the fact that there wasn't the paper on, the VPAT paper that shows up on the Ivotronic. Nothing like that was on the tablets themselves. They're purely a ballot marking device, which was probably the favorite part from the voters, I think, that they didn't have to actually cast their ballot on the machine, that they were just marking the ballot and then seeing it for themselves on a physical piece of paper. And that was probably the best positive feedback we got. To wrap up and let probably the more interesting topics take over, I will let Sheila take over. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate your experience and sharing that with us. The cost savings I wanted to touch on. Mesa County saw a 40% reduction in labor with the use of this system. I mainly attribute that to the electronic adjudication module and not having to manually duplicate or resolve ballots with the boards that we used to. So I attribute it there, and then also for the setup. The system was the ease of the setup and the use also attributed to a labor savings. We had very little overtime, even for our permanent staff. And we run our elections division with 4.5 people and serve 109,000 registered voters. The other thing I wanted to touch on, and you can go ahead and skip through there to the next slide, is the scalability. So these are pictures of Mesa and Denver's central count side by side, and then our adjudication teams and someone scanning ballots on the central scanner in the bottom right of each one of those pictures. And so the scalability is seen here. We had 4 scanners in Mesa. We could have done it with 1. We counted 32,818 mail ballots, and we had 256 in-person votes, so much, much smaller than what Denver experienced.
Good afternoon. My name is Amber McReynolds. I'm the Director of Elections for Denver. Wanted to share a couple things. As mentioned earlier, this was actually our 3rd election this year. Utilizing the Dominion system, many people came to see our election in May as well as June. So it was our 3rd election, which was nice. Overall this year, we've experienced a very smooth transition into the new system. One of the first things I wanted to sort of point out is the fiscal impact in our counting room specifically. So in this particular election, we compared 2013 coordinated to 2015, very similar elections, similar ballot counts, and we saw a 71% salary savings in the counting room and duplication and adjudication area specifically. So wanted to note that that's where we've seen the most efficiencies with this new system, in particular as it relates to the on-screen adjudication. And for us, we also in the May as well as the June election, in our municipal cycle, write-ins are very prevalent amongst our municipal elections, and the write-in piece of adjudication where you can do everything at once and everything's auditable and then you can report the results very quickly is a significant improvement over previous systems that we've utilized. And then a couple other things I wanted to note that are different in Denver than what happened in some of the other pilot counties. Number one, we also piloted Dominion's UACAVA solution. So one of the things that we have looked for very specifically in any new system, and we've done a lot of work over the past few years to sort of analyze what's available, and then, you know, ended up going with Dominion because they were willing to frankly work with us to modify what their offering was previously to fit our needs and fit the needs of what works in Colorado law. And so we did work with them to pilot the UACAVA solutions. We did deliver ballots through their UACAVA system. And the efficiencies we gained from that, the mitigated risk, the reduction in costs were significant, mainly because Dominion system is democracy suite, one database, everything is there. In our previous setup, we actually were up to 6 different databases running our elections. So there were 3 different ones within the old Sequoia system. We had Runback, we had Everyone Counts, and then we actually had 2 Everyone Counts databases. So one thing that is significant in this system is the centralized model of Democracy Suite, one database that's proofed, that you sort of go through that feeds every aspect of the election, including UACAVA. And the other piece that we used is we also utilized a mobile voting site basically for group residential facilities. As many of you know, we have been deploying iPads as ballot marking devices to our group residential facilities. We were using that in the Everyone Count system previously, and we were deploying those as ADA accessible devices to all of our group residential facilities. Denver has about 45 of those, so we send a team of bipartisan judges out with equipment, set up a voting time, and sort of do all this. And we've actually been doing that since 2010. We started deployment of that, and we were able to transition this year to using the Dominion system for that delivery as well. And it was much easier for the judges to set up, a sort of more straightforward training process. We had about 22 voters utilize the ballot marking devices amongst all of the different group residential facility locations so they could vote in an independent manner. And I think that's an important aspect of this because any system that we select, we need to provide service and we need to provide a solution for all voters, whether they're UACAVA, at a group residential facility, in person at a voting location. So I think selecting a system that's multidimensional that actually provides the service that we need for every single type of voting situation is extremely important. And then finally, one thing that I wanted to talk about, and we've had significant experience with our vendor over the past few years in this process. They came, I think it was in 2010 or 11, and sat down and said, you know, here's what we're going to be offering in the next few years and that kind of thing. And I said, well, that's not going to work. And they said, well, how would you change it and what would you do differently? And so we really started having that discussion many years ago to sort of look at it in a different way and say, what do our customers want? And at the time, we were seeing an increase in mail balloting. We were starting to offer services at our group residential facilities. UACAVA and online ballot delivery, ballot transmission came into play. And so we really wanted to design a system that included every single aspect of the voting process from end to end. And so we started working and providing feedback with our vendor, and this year even throughout the 3 elections that we've conducted, we've been in a continuous development and sort of reporting environment with them and providing feedback, and they have very deliberately acted on a lot of it. In February, we brought in a few accessible voters into our office. They tested out the tablet. The vendor brought in developers from various parts of the world to come and sit there and observe these voters marking the ballot and providing direct feedback. And so I think it's important that anybody that gets selected or approved for use in Colorado is willing to make that commitment to design a system that works for every single voter and every single aspect of the election. The other piece, finally, that we use that is slightly different than what has been done before is we also use ballot on demand through Dominion. So we literally, every single aspect of the election was covered by this particular vendor for us, did it in all three elections, and as Sheila mentioned, we've seen significant cost savings and efficiencies throughout our process. We've also mitigated risk, which I think is, as we all know in elections, one of the most important things is figuring out how to conduct an election in a transparent, secure, efficient manner, and also mitigate risk and build contingencies and planning around that. So with that, that's the end of our presentation. We're happy, I think any of us are happy to answer questions from the committee. So thank you very much.
Steve?
Steve Moreno, Weld County Commissioner. And I want to thank everybody here today because I think it's been great presentations from all of the eight piloting counties. And again, as Chuck has stated here, it's just it was a risk on your folks too, going out there and testing these systems and getting out of your comfort zones, as most folks said there too. But when I looking at the evaluations that were given from both Denver County and Mesa County here, they pretty much mirrored in the evaluation. That was very interesting to me. But one of the things that I saw in this here, too, is that there seems to be in the documentation that came out of that, and maybe you can comment to their training manuals and everything else, because it was interesting to see that both of you had the same type of comments on that.
Yeah, and Jimmy, do you want to come up and speak to that? Jimmy Flanagan is our senior voting system analyst, and I have to say and I might be biased, but I think one of the best in the business. So I'm going to let him speak to that.
Thanks, Amber. Jimmy Flanagan, Denver Operations. I think you're talking about basically the training documentation necessarily wasn't the best, but the training actually complemented it. I don't think you could figure out the system strictly off of the documentation. I think you do need that human interaction during the training. So was that the...
Yeah. Okay. And maybe we could hear from Mesa too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what Jimmy said is pretty much dead on. I love manuals. The first thing I asked for when I knew we were doing this was to ask for all the manuals so I could take them home and read them. And I did. And some of them were very good, very comprehensive, but there were, I think, holes in some of them that could have been improved on with maybe better better language used or better pictures used. But I think the base for what you're looking for in a manual is there, but I kind of got the impression that maybe they were put together really quick for the pilot and maybe not proofread, you know, something like that. But they were the base for the manuals was very good. I think they just need a little more improvement.
Just following up with that there from the both of you, when this was brought to the attention of the vendor, how did they receive that and their willingness to get everything correct, cleaned up?
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys had the same experience with Jennifer. I mean, she was taking notes during the whole training process herself, so and I know for a fact just from talking to her that they're actually implementing a lot of the things that she learned during the training, that they're going to implement that into their documentation as well. So.
And that can actually be said for any of the feedback we gave them throughout the entire pilot is we gave them the feedback and they took it and they used it. And they've already given us a pretty comprehensive list of items that we commented on them to during the pilot that have already been fixed. They've been very, very responsive to all of our comments.
Thank you.
If I could just follow up before you sit down, Amanda, on Steve's question, it sounds to me like maybe the product manuals for the more mature aspects of the system were better than the newer parts. So were the documentation problems, did those pertain to ImageCast? I mean, do you remember particular applications or modules that you thought were more deficient than others?
You know, I don't think I do remember a particular list of which ones I thought were very good and which ones could have used some improvement.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
The main lack was an EED, so the programming the image cast X and EED was kind of the main one there. As far as entering like text for proposals and that kind of stuff, it was still pretty new into the system, so it was kind of lacking right there. And then the ImageCast X manual itself was pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a pretty simple system, so I didn't really see any deficiencies with that.
Okay.
Donato?
You know, I think you answered. I was going to ask how hard it was to change something on the spur of the moment, but I think you really answered that. You said that when you had candidates drop off, you were able to take care of that. And would you go into more detail about what's available if we'll say your ballots are already printed and they're out to the voters, and we'll say we had a death of a candidate and you didn't want to give the results of that? Would you go into that? Because you kind of mentioned it, but I'm not quite sure.
Sure.
What's available?
We saw two different situations. I'll frame it from what we saw. The first situation we saw was two candidates who dropped out after the program had already advanced to its ballots proofed stage. The program automatically advances through stages, and we had already gone to the last stage, which doesn't allow any changes until you roll it back. So the first scenario where the two candidates actually did drop out, we were able to roll it back, make the changes, and then advance it again by printing proofing ballots and then our official ballots. Very easy, and I explained that earlier. The second scenario was a candidate who we weren't sure if the courts were going to tell us to stop counting ballots for the gentleman until Monday before Election Day. But we had already implemented a plan with our representative was Janice through Dominion, who was wonderful, by the way, to disable the candidate, which is an option built into EED. You can go in and into the actual candidate in the program and click disable, and it will no longer count ballots for that candidate. The small snag that I will admit that we saw in that is that if you do disable the candidate after ballots have already been counted, you're going to have to reject all those batches out of there and import them again. It's a click of a button. You're not rescanning anything. You're just importing the ballot result files again, as well as if someone had voted an overvote for that candidate and another candidate, adjudication would have still sorted it out, even though the candidate was disabled, which would have been a matter of process with our adjudication judges.
And while you're there, you also talked about reports and how many different types of reports you could do. I mean, can you sort on, well, go into what all you could sort on to bring up a report, like if you had a recount. And you needed, and it was a very small, we'll say it was a school district recount, and it only affected a few ballots. Sorting those out, can you go that deep?
You can in multiple reports, as a matter of fact, not just one report. You can go down to as small a group as you want or as big a group as you want in many of the reports. Specifically, the Statement of Votes Cast report allows you a lot of functionality to select what you want on the report and what you don't want on the report. It's very configurable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks.
Shall I stay
for all
up
your
here?
Work. Yeah. Okay. What the heck? I have a few quick questions. You talked about the wired network of all the components, and in my mind immediately went, well, how does that work for a county that programs their ballots? And maybe you can't answer this. It could be that the vendor has to answer this. But how does it work for a county that programs their ballots in one secure area with video, which, you know, is required, and that's all, whatever, wired up and ready to go? And then does the scanning and, you know, potentially tabulation or adjudication in another area, is there a capability to, you know, if they're not wired, is that still going to work?
Jimmy might know the answer better than I.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple solution. So if you're doing all of your ballot design and production on a closed network system and then you have your scanners on their own separate air gap system, it's just transporting the USB stick between the two. So.
Okay, great. And then this particular presentation has had very few, if any, pain points. So were there any?
Probably the biggest pain point for me that gave me my one gray hair for this election was entering in the proposal text for the ICXs. The way it was built into EED, you would enter in all the text for that proposition into one field. And it's awesome if you don't have any weird formatting to do for that proposition, like bullet points or anything like that. But we did have a couple of those, so you actually have to put in spaces to get your hard returns, basically. But from my understanding, they're fixing that with an HTML in the next release. So.
Okay, great.
It was fun going back and forth between the ICX and EED a few times. I need two more spaces, right?
Is it risk-limiting audit capable? I mean, wasn't able to get to any of the counties that had, if you did them.
Yeah, Dwight and the voting systems team from the state came over after the election, and we conducted kind of an RLA. But the functionality is there. So you do have your cast vote records that identify the individual ballot, so you can go back to how the system interpreted each individual ballot.
Okay, and not terribly painful.
No, it wasn't very bad. No.
And finally, in the adjudication, is it easy to look at the ballot image and determine, you know, does it have adequate resolution for adjudication?
In my opinion, yes. We didn't necessarily do it this election, but in the municipal runoff election, we had an instance where the judges weren't sure what was going on with the ballot because it was basically a big black blob over a couple of targets that showed up in adjudication. So we were able to go through the exercise of going to that physical ballot within the box, pulling it out, and then comparing it to the image on the screen, and they couldn't really derive any more information from the physical ballot.
Great. Thank you.
Jennifer?
Hi, Jennifer Levin, Disability Law, Colorado. And I was able to get a voter down there to test your equipment. He was blind, and we only had one issue, was the Braille on there was upside down. I'm sure y'all corrected that. But I was wondering.
It was in the right orientation, just it was upside down.
Right, something I could never have been able to detect, so I'm glad I had him. I was just wondering do y'all have an independent way to take the ballot somewhere and drop it, or does it drop automatically there so that somebody wouldn't need assistance from a judge?
Most likely you would probably need assistance from a judge to deposit it in a ballot box. If you saw the pictures of some of the VSPCs, it's just the Canon printers within the kiosks themselves, so that ballot does have to get into a ballot box somehow. And we haven't really discussed that with the vendor yet as far as any solutions for allowing the ballot to be dropped into a box right there. I'm sure there is a way to do it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you could fix that. And also, I was just wondering if you observed any other instances where people might have needed more assistance for certain reasons.
I mean, normally you kind of sit and you dread, like, waiting to get that phone call about somebody who's having a hard time casting the ballot. It's happened a few times in the past with our legacy systems, and I really don't like those phone calls because they're just not fun to take or to go out and fix in the field. But I didn't get one of those this election, so I can't really speak to it. So.
Okay.
And we do, one of the things that we do is we do track all of our customer service calls as well as our operational calls from the field. In this election and this sort of this year, we've seen a reduction in equipment-related calls. So even with rolling out a new system in May and June and then using it again this time, we've seen a reduction in the percentage of equipment-related calls using this new system. So I think that kind of addresses that too.
Yeah, thank you.
Chuck.
Chuck Berman, El Paso County. Your assessment of Dominion's ability to service a full state rollout if they were selected, both from a financial, manpower, resource-wise stability. What's your assessment of their capability?
So I think when we started talking to them a few years ago and then, you know, kind of got into the development process last year, we worked very closely with them. So Jimmy helped, you know, kind of design a lot of these aspects, especially on the tablet piece. The thing is, we didn't want to just have a solution for Denver. We wanted to have a solution that worked not only in our county, but would work statewide and would be scalable for a range of abilities, if you will, amongst election judges or staff. So, you know, if we design something that only a voting system senior tech person can kind of roll out, we're really not going to do ourselves any favors, especially with, you know, being a larger county. We do have to rely on the people that are in the field, and we have to rely on the people that are supporting the
field folks. Based on our experience with Dominion now and then Sequoia previously, I think that Dominion is much better suited than say a Sequoia was back in the day, mainly because I think that their new system is more scalable than what their old system was. So the proprietary hardware and some of the functionality that existed or didn't exist in the old system, I think, would be problematic statewide. This new system, I think, with the ease of use, the resources, the support that, you know, we've seen, I think would easily be something that could be rolled out statewide. The vendor probably needs to give you more perspective on that. My perception is that they would be fully capable, especially given we're one of the large counties. You know, it's gone really well for us. Mesa had a good experience. Just given kind of that perspective, I think it could easily be done statewide.
And in-person voting, did you scan the ballots in the VSPCs or did you bring them back for Central Count?
We brought them back for Central Count, and this was one thing that we did in the development process, talked a lot about. The main reason for it is, in this election, 99% of our voters used the mail ballot to vote. And so given the new model, given sort of the small percentage of people that are actually even casting in person, we felt it was more efficient and sort of mitigated risk to handle every ballot in the exact same way. So now with this system, every ballot has a paper ballot that gets scanned through the same scanners. There's not a cartridge, you know, sort of separate process. The UOCAVA ballots don't need to be duplicated. They're scanned directly, and they look exactly like the in-person ballots created on the tablet. So we wanted to do everything in the Central Count environment, mainly because I think it mitigates some risk and takes some of the pieces and confusion out of the field that maybe we don't need to have out there. So.
And then the $100,000 question, you're prepared to move forward. I think I understand Denver County's prepared to move forward on a system. If this committee or the Secretary of State would not select Dominion, what were your thoughts processes going forward?
I think that's something we'll talk about on January 1st.
Okay.
And so we still have our Central Count scanners from the old system are still in our building, and our DREs are still right now with us. So I think we would have to make that decision.
And then do it. Mesa County, that same question.
We would definitely prefer moving forward as long as Dominion is picked. It would be a real hard sell for us to go with another vendor now that we are installed, trained, and ready to go with the current system.
Amber, I have a question for you. How many ballots did you guys process in the May election, June, and November, please?
Total.
Or Jimmy, whoever has that answer.
A little over 250,000 total.
Yeah, I think it was close to 300, probably close to.
It was like 100,000, a little over 100,000 in the municipal.
It's about between 275 and 300, I think, because it was 125 this election, 110, and then probably between 250 and 300,000. In this election, we had just under 1,000 voters vote on the tablet devices at seven different locations, and I think 70% were on election day, ish.
So, thank you. Yep. Steve?
Yeah, if I can kind of follow up with Chuck's question, and this is more for the two clerks, knowing that both of you have been through several elections and everything else, I know there's earlier comments from one of the new clerks here that likes that competitiveness, and I used to have that same feeling about competitiveness being the best thing for Colorado, and I know former Secretary Davidson here sitting to my left here remembers the conversations we had. We talked a little bit about that. Kind of like to know your feelings about going to unified voting. I mean, you both stated being on the committees and stuff. Again, Chuck saying if you were the vendor that you're currently piloting here, that if it was not selected, would you feel the same way, I guess, if whatever your answer might be here? I guess I'm kind of speculating.
Well, just philosophically, and this is Sheila from Mesa County, the for the single system, I was opposed to it in the beginning, and but through my work on the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee and my experience of being sued on the federal level and being in a room with seven other counties and trying to explain to one AG how we all were doing the same thing under the same law but very differently because of the different systems that we had to support, that was difficult. And so I began to see the benefit of having a single system in the way of standardizing processes, mitigating risk in situations where you did have to go to court and explain why you were following the same statute, but it was a completely different process per county. And then also the cost. I do think that we could actually make some headway on the cost on a statewide level. And just really standardizing the language from one county to another so that we're all speaking the same language, I think our training could significantly increase in quality.
And I'm just going to reemphasize what Sheila stated earlier, and I was a strong proponent when I was on the committee before in terms of the regionalism and looking at how we can look at not only just helping each other but shared resources. Someone with, 650, registered voters versus, Denver with over, 300,000 voters, how can we, use those economies of scales and, make the best use of the equipment that we're getting for the state as a whole?
Dwight.
Hi, this is Dwight from the Secretary of State's office. This question is for Jesse, actually. Who set up the VSPCs in Mesa County?
That was myself, Amanda, and we had someone from IT help with the court setup.
Okay. Just for those who aren't familiar, at least this current configuration of Dominion, the in-person voting solution is a tablet that is hardwired to a server that is also hardwired to a printer. So my question is, do you have any concerns about election judges being able to actually set up this equipment in a VSPC?
Without assistance from us, our office? I think with the proper training, I don't foresee any major issues with the implementation of that. I think the cords themselves are just standard network cables. And really, it was a very simple process. I can't speak for every single judge that would set up, but I think with the proper training, it would be done efficiently.
Okay.
And we did on our group residential facility, so those teams went out to 35 different locations, so essentially set up a mobile site 35 different times. I think there was four judges.
I think so.
Three or four judges that served that entire thing, did the registration process, the check-in, and the setup, and we had very, very few problems.
Okay. So, and actually, that was going to be my next question. It wasn't clear to me from your presentation, Amber, what exactly you were using at the group residential facilities, but it was essentially the ImageCast X.
ImageCast with the server, the laptop supporting that. So that's the exact setup that they used each time.
Okay, thanks.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, we really want to thank the last two counties, Denver Mesa, for your presentation, your willingness to pilot a new system, and for coming and presenting your findings to us. Thank you. Dwight?
I echo those comments. Thank you all so much. And every single county, every one of these eight counties basically ran flawless elections using new systems, most for the first time, which says an enormous amount about the quality of people we have in county election departments. So I congratulate all of you and thank you all very much. We are going to take a 45-minute lunch break here. And so maybe we'll try to narrow this down to 40 minutes. If we could resume here at 1:45 for our afternoon session, and we are a little late, but we will get caught up and we will get out of here by 4:30 p.m. Thank you.
I gotta go.
I want you to call me to next week. I can't get that out.
You got time.
I'm not going to eat that. I